afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. You want to say Monday morning. Last holdover from American Journal. We have a huge show for you today. Bigger than perhaps is responsible of me. I was able to cut down my video list from about 120 videos to about 75. So we'll see how many of those we get to. We, of course, are going to talk about Maduro being captured. But there's just really barely the tip of the spear. There are terrorist attacks that wiped out electricity for a huge portion of Berlin yesterday, and what I think is going to be a more common tactic of the left as we, you know, move towards their ultimate communist worldwide revolution. But we also have goings on in Israel and Iran and here in America, and just so very much to talk about. And I think we're going to begin today, after our daily dispatch, we're going to at least spend some time, an appropriate amount of time, reveling in the glory and power of the American military. We're just going to spend some time truly appreciating that we live in a country that can kind of do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, to anybody it wants, and nobody can stop us because we're simply better than them. And we're going to revel in that. We're going to celebrate that. Then we're going to ask some questions. Then we're going to get into what maybe this Venezuela operation plays into in worldwide strategies and patterns and operations going on. So it's not going to be all, you know, hoorah, no questions asked, just, you know, kick butt, go America. But we are going to do that for a little bit because we have to, because we're awesome and we have to appreciate that fact. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Monday, the 5th of January, 2026. Maduro appears in U.S. courtroom on drug trafficking charges. A defiant Nicolas Maduro declared himself the president of my country as he protested his capture and pleaded not guilty on Monday to the federal drug trafficking charges that the Trump administration used to justify removing him from power in Venezuela. Quote, I was captured, Maduro said in Spanish, as translated by a courtroom reporter before being cut off by the judge. Asked later for his plea to the charges, he stated, I'm innocent, I'm not guilty, I'm a decent man, the president of my country. Again, we will tell you all about what's happening with Maduro and his trial and what exactly is going on there. We'll return to that in just a minute. But following the success of this pretty astonishing mission, Trump is basically looking around for the next target and is kind of making threats against a lot of people. It's pretty interesting, including Greenland. Now, Greenland has responded saying U.S. attacking a NATO ally would be, quote, the end of everything, says Danish Prime Minister. Well, we were already convinced. No need to sweeten the pot. Any U.S. attack on a NATO ally would be the end of everything, Denmark's Prime Minister warned Monday after U.S. President Donald Trump repeated his desire to annex Greenland. If the United States decides to militarily attack another NATO country, then everything would stop. That includes NATO and therefore post-World War II security. Well, then great. Well, then it's a win-win situation. We get Greenland and we get to end the NATO post-World War II neoliberal consensus that is basically slowly poisoning everyone. So I say do it. I say go for it. Meanwhile, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz ends his 2026 campaign for reelection. Tim Walz announced Monday that he's ending his bid for reelection. The reversal, which came from amid mounting pressure from fellow Democrats, marks a major shape up in Minnesota politics heading into the 2026 midterms. And of course, you know, Axios is like, well, you know, the Democrats said it's, you know, maybe it's time for somebody. No, he's a criminal and he has presided over one of the biggest acts of just blatant looting the world has ever seen. And he's decided it's better just not to take all of that heat and just instead to retire because I think maybe he thinks he can get away with it. I don't know. But this shouldn't be the end for old Tim Walz. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance's home has been broken into, as well as some good news here. Section 453 granting pesticide companies immunity has been removed from the bill. We actually defeated that. More on the other side.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Overwhelming American military power, air, land, and sea was used to launch a spectacular assault.
So this is a hype video put out by the Trump administration called simply Our Hemisphere. It's our hemisphere, and you exist here at our pleasure, essentially. And I told you, we'll question it. We'll get into, you know, what I think is really behind Venezuela, how I think it plays into a wider global chess game being played right now. But we'll save that. But we'll save that for a little bit, because we're just going to revel. We're just going to revel in what was accomplished yesterday, because no matter how you feel about political implications or the legality of the operation, you're lying if you don't admit it was pretty cool. It was actually very cool. It's actually probably one of the coolest things the American military maybe has ever done. Now, it resulted in dozens of Venezuelan defenders dead, but not a single American life or piece of equipment was even lost. That's incredible. Extracting this, the president of a country flawlessly. I mean, it was really something else, and it proved a few things. First of all, that the American military can achieve stuff like this on its own, a warning shot across the bow of our other geopolitical enemies. The timing of this was very interesting, with a Chinese envoy arriving in Venezuela just the day before. Must have been an awkward ride home for them. And we'll also talk about sort of how this plays into, again, the wider geopolitical struggle. Is it all about the oil? Is it about election fraud? We'll figure it out. We'll get into it. We'll tell you the research that we've done and what we've uncovered, but let's revel. But first, can we just revel for a second, please? This was another video put out by the White House, clip number 7. They're really enjoying the propaganda that they got out of this, and God bless them. Let's go to clip number 7. Nicolas Maduro had his chance until he didn't. Let's watch.
Venga por mí.
Last night, on the order of the President of the United States,
aquí no esperan Miraflores,
and in support of a request from the Department of Justice,
no se tarde llegar.
The United States military conducted an apprehension mission in Caracas, Venezuela, to bring to justice two indicted persons, Nicolas and Cecilia Maduro.
Cobarde!
Nicolas Maduro had his chance until he didn't. He effed around and he found out.
This was one of the most stunning, effective, and powerful displays of American military might and competence in American history.
Like, I don't understand yet how they haven't figured this out. And now, if you don't know, now you know. Because this is the way it's going to play out, and I think people need to understand that this is not a president that just talks and does letters and press conferences. And, you know, if he says he's serious about something, he means it. But don't play games. Don't play games with this president's in office, because it's not going to turn out well.
Yes, probably some pretty good advice there. Probably some pretty good advice. Now, let's just keep going. Can we keep going? Let's just keep it going here. This was a recreation of the event. This is, again, just something, a phenomenon of the modern age where, thanks to AI, you can have an event happen on Sunday evening, and by Monday morning, you have a fully realized animated dramatization of it. Pretty incredible stuff. This is from a Twitter account, an X account called PsyOp Anime, clip number 15. This is PsyOp Anime's recreation of the events in Caracas, Venezuela yesterday. Here we go. Let's watch.
Así que el cambio de régimen, además de ilegal, es inmoral. Y aquí no lograrán ni colonizar, ni esclavizar, ni a Venezuela, ni a América del Sur, ni a nuestra América. Y si algún día tocan a Venezuela, toda la América se levantará por nosotros.
Let's go to reaction that's pouring in from world leaders this morning who are waking up to a new reality with what happened overnight.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty dang cool. And again, you had the Chinese envoy arriving in Venezuela yesterday. Didn't help very much and may have actually precipitated this assault, or at least, you know, contributed to it. But of course, we've got, there were a lot of other things that went into this, a lot of other, you know, decisions that led to this action being taken, including one of my favorites out of the New York Times. The New York Times reported that what finally pushed Trump to send Delta Force to storm Caracas and abduct Maduro was the fact that Maduro was dancing on stage. This week, he was back on stage brushing off the latest U.S. escalation, a strike that the United States said was for drug trafficking, by bouncing to an electronic beat on state television while his recorded voice repeated in English, "No crazy war." Mr. Maduro's regular public dancing and other displays of nonchalance in recent weeks helped persuade some on the Trump team that the Venezuela president was mocking them and trying to call what he believed to be a bluff, according to two of the people who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to talk about the confidential discussion. So apparently Maduro went out, you know, on stage to dance and frolic to show Trump he wasn't afraid, and that was the wrong thing to do, I think. I think that was the wrong thing to do. And it's, I don't know, something about that. I can just picture Trump watching Maduro dance being like, okay, all right, that's how it's going to be. Launch the attack. Launch the attack then in that case. It also, of course, was a little bit of Maduro throwing it back in Trump's face, right? Obviously, Trump came famous for his little Trump dances on stage. Maduro was, in a way, mocking him, I think. And he didn't like that. But let's go to some more videos here because we have, yeah, there's the dancing. He's right. He's doing like kind of a Trump dance. Yes, peace, 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 peace forever are the subtitles there. Yeah, Trump's a better dancer, man. I'm gonna give it to Trump on this one. But yeah, that may have had a little something to do with it. But I do want to go to another animated piece that actually explains what exactly happened last night, how it all went down. Let's go to clip number, let's go to clip 26 here. Or clip 27, right? Let's go to clip 27. This is the truth about Venezuela that the left is desperate to hide. This is a Venezuelan who was against the Maduro regime explaining what it was actually like for people living in Venezuela. Let's watch.
Okay. As a Venezuelan American, I got some shit to say. My family, my parents, my sister, my extended family, all lost everything. Their work, their savings, their investments, gone. Wiped out by a narco dictatorship that has held Venezuela in a death grip for over 25 years. And what happened to my family has happened to millions. And yes, millions. The Venezuelan exodus is the second largest displacement crisis on earth after Syria. This is not just a tragedy. It is one of the great humanitarian disasters of our time. But the suffering doesn't end there. This regime has jailed hundreds of political prisoners. Thousands have been murdered simply for speaking out. More than a third of the population has fled. One third. Not for better opportunities or for the American dream, but to survive. To live. Because staying often means death. And while the world may see Venezuela as a collapsed state, what it is, in reality, is an occupied one. Our territory, our natural resources, and our institutions have been overrun by hostile foreign powers. Iranian militias, Chinese corporations, Russian intelligence, all exploiting our country with impunity. Venezuela is no longer just a local crisis. It is now a geopolitical threat that endangers the entire Western Hemisphere. It has become a launchpad for an authoritarian expansion in the Americas. And in the midst of all of this, one woman has dared to lead the charge for freedom. Maria Corina Machado. In 2024, against every odd, she led a peaceful democratic uprising that won the election. Her team smuggled physical...
Now, interestingly, I don't believe that she is going to be taking over. They've sort of set her up to be, you know, the queen in waiting, right? And the queen in exile to be installed there. But that's not happening. Now the vice president is taking over, Maduro's vice president. And again, this is all very... unprecedented. Like, we've never really seen anything like this, and I'm, I think we're all trying to kind of piece it all together. But let's see how actually the assault itself went down. Clip number 59. This is how it actually went down minute by minute, in case you're wondering how America was able to achieve this seemingly impossible result. Remember, last time Patrick Byrne was in studio, we were talking about possibilities when it came to Venezuela, and I was saying it doesn't look like Trump wants a full-fledged invasion. And I think I asked, you know, what about an extraction team? And I can't remember exactly what Patrick Byrne's response was, but it was kind of just like, it's probably not possible. I mean, it's so unbelievable to get into this because they knew. It's not like we were not doing anything with Venezuela. Then one day we stole their president. No, like, we clearly were signaling this is what we're doing. We are clearly had them on defense as much as humanly possible, and yet we still pulled it off. Absolutely incredible. Again, just unironically embracing and celebrating the power and efficiency and strategy and capability of the American Armed Forces. What a beautiful thing. I mean, I just wish it would be sent clear out little Mogadishu out of Minnesota. Maybe we could send it to take out, I don't know, Gavin Newsom or any of the other treasonous scumbags that are destroying our country, but we're not complaining. I'm sorry. We're reveling. We're celebrating. We're enjoying the power and effect of the American military. Let's go to clip number 59 now.
How do you capture a high-value target when the whole world is watching? You create a masterclass in deception. The CIA set the stage with a single building as bait and filled the sky with 150 aircraft to create a deafening sonic shield for the helicopters to drop Delta forces. F-35s lit up the perimeter, turning night into day. By the time the dust settled, the helicopters had already touched down and Maduro was gone. We'll also look at how the U.S. uses the F-35 jets and its Navy to launch a large-scale attack, all in the video ahead. In the dead of night that is 2 in the morning, the lights went out in Caracas. By 5 a.m., the president of Venezuela was gone. But how U.S. played a deception games. While the whole world were focused on the aircraft carriers in the Caribbean, a shadow war was being fought on the ground. This wasn't an invasion. It was a surgical extraction. We finally have the declassified timeline of how U.S. forces breached the heart of Caracas and extracted Nicolas Maduro. Let's start with step one. The setup. This didn't happen overnight. For months, the U.S. had been tightening a naval quarantine around Venezuela. The U.S. Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group and the U.S. Iwo Jima Amphibious Ready Group were parked off the coast. The pretext was clear. The U.S. designated the Venezuelan government a narco-terrorist state, specifically targeting the drugs lords, but while the Navy squeezed the coast, intelligence assets were tracking one man. They waited for a specific window, a moment where Maduro was stationary and vulnerable. Step two, the strike. It began at exactly 2 in the morning Venezuelan standard time. High above, several F-35 stealth fighters punch a hole through the enemy lines, destabilizing their anti-air defenses. Like these Russian S-300 missiles located all over the strategic high-value target. With the skies clear, the path opens for Delta Force helicopters to fly straight towards the mission. Here comes the deception as the helicopters flew. The jets started firing with more strikes as it hit Fort Tuna, the main military base and command center, and La Carlota Air Base, destabilizing Venezuelan air support. Reports from the ground described widespread explosions and a sudden communications blackout. The chaos wasn't the goal, it was the cover. But how did the raid happen? We have to look at step three. Under the cover of darkness and chaos, the Tier 1 operators went to work. But what is the exact unit tasked with the mission? It is the Delta Force, one of the most elite secretive special forces units in the U.S. military. Witnesses in Caracas reported low-flying aircraft skimming the rooftops, flying well below radar coverage. The team breached a secure compound believed to be a safe house within the massive Fort Tuna complex. Resistance from the Venezuelan presidential guard was swift but ultimately futile, as the helicopters lay cover fire. The operators moved with surgical speed landing on multiple points. But how exactly the capture and extraction happened? For this, let's look at step four. Specialized helicopters hovered over the objective to insert the assault team. While dozens of attack helicopters laid down suppression fire, the Delta Special Forces descended and started the search for the high-value targets. How did they find him? Simple. The CIA had planted spy inside Nicolas Maduro close circle. While back in the U.S., Delta Force built an exact replica of his safe house, rehearsing the raid until they could do it blindfolded. While operators breached the room so fast, his security could not even react to the situation as the sound of flash grenades disoriented the security guard. Using blowtorch, they caught him before he could even lock all the doors. Maduro's shock and awe froze him as Delta Force reached the compound. Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, were physically secured. This wasn't a negotiation. They were detained and immediately moved to the extraction point. These aircraft are capable of performing urban extractions from buildings and refueling in midair. Within minutes, they were airborne, leaving Venezuelan airspace and heading to a secure floating staging base in the Caribbean. This Operation Southern Spear has changed the geopolitical map of South America overnight. But wait, before after the extractions, there were reports of F-35 jets also leading the tip of the spear for the attack.
Okay, so again, that's basically how it happened. Where it goes from here, I guess, is anybody's guess whether Maduro will turn state's witness and, you know, start spilling the beans on people in America that he was cooperating with to steal the election or to get people into our country. I mean, whatever it is, it's very interesting. I guess we'll get to see what happens with SDNY, right? The Southern District of New York, where high profile cases go to die. Literally, in some cases, is where Epstein was. That's where Diddy was. That's where Maureen Comey was, still is, I believe. But it's, you know, clearly a deep state controlled operation. So why they would send Nicolas Maduro there, a little bit suspicious. But I want to show you some more videos from what happened last night. This is how the attack began. This is clip number 26. This is how it began. There was a cyber attack and a blackout of the entire country. And somebody was filming at the time. So let's go to clip number 26 now. So you see, whoop, there it goes. Uh-oh. You're in trouble. Uh-huh. It gets real dark. And by the time the lights come back on, their president is gone. Pretty crazy stuff. Now, whether that was a cyber attack or whether they hit a big transmission system, I think to knock out the electricity for the whole country, it was probably a cyber attack of some sort. So we really opened up, you know, the armory here and hit them with everything we had. Let's go to clip number 21 here. This is one of those clips that, again, it's like even if I wasn't in favor of this attack, which I'm sort of up in the air about still, you got to admit it's cool. You got to admit it's cool. We fly in this helicopter and somebody shoots at it. And within a second, the area that shot the missile is completely destroyed. And how can you not? It's, I mean, if you're a man, there's still that little boy inside that's just like, this is cool. This is cool. And I want G.I. Joe's so I can reenact this in my living room. Let's go to clip number 21. Somebody opened up a fire U.S. helicopter and the helicopter destroyed them. Let's watch. Can you see the fire open up? And there's the helicopter return fire. Eliminated. Yeah, that quick. And I don't care how you feel about the legality of the attack. It's a very potent reminder. I mean, we spend so much time hearing about Americans being bombed in some desert fort somewhere. And, you know, we just have this image of American soldiers sort of standing around a lot of places. But like, man, when we really want to do something, we do the hell out of it and no one can stop us. Is this live? This is Maduro being perp walked. We got a couple of videos of him being perp walked, including some very interesting videos. Like clip 29 here, this was Trump parading Maduro through New York. Now, Maduro's actually in the first van, so people thought he was in the second van because the van's got its doors open. But you might as well, because, again, this was sort of a slap in the face. Mom Donnie was like, don't bring him here. Trump's like, shut up. Shut up, Mom Donnie. And then sends him there anyway. So this is Maduro being paraded through the streets of New York City. Pretty interesting. Let's watch that. So apparently he's in this first car, but then following him is a van. With the doors wide open and soldiers standing in it. Yeah, a lot of socialists in New York. They'll yell. They like yelling about things, but
good job, good job.
They're not actually going to do anything because they're not Delta Force operatives. These guys are. These guys are Tier 1 operators that are not frightened by men in dresses screeching at them. And no, I'm not kidding. That is who a lot of the protesters turn out to be. And we'll talk more about it. I mean, there's so much to this. It's absolutely fascinating. What's actually behind it, I think we can glean from some of the reaction from the Trump administration. We'll get to their comments later, as well as Trump looking around the world at what else he wants to do with the U.S. military. Now, this went so well. We also know that the Chinese just sold a bunch of anti-aircraft stealth radar to Venezuela. Venezuela bought out their entire stock on the promise that it would be able to detect stealth aircraft. Well, they all failed yesterday. And whether that's because they were some sort of Chinese knockoff that never worked, or whether it was something that the American military did to disable them, basically Venezuela spent a fortune on defenses, none of which helped even a little bit yesterday. And it's this is an interesting new development in international relations, you might say. More on the other side. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels, too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As we continue to talk about the operation to extract Nicolas Maduro yesterday, you know, I had a little metaphor that I put forward that I think people appreciated. And it's sort of like, I feel like a kid whose house is falling apart, whose roof is leaking, who can't afford new clothes, has to wear hand-me-downs, can't afford the newest toys, we're struggling. And then I see my dad pull into the driveway with a new $200,000 sports car. And it's like, okay, what the hell? Okay, what the hell, Dad? What the hell? Would you not see that we're struggling here? Do you not see that we need this help? And it's like, guys, you don't understand how much we need this car. You don't understand how much this car is going to help us. I'm working so hard on getting you shoes. I'm working so hard. We're getting you shoes, and that's happening. It's happening in the background. Trust us, okay? We're working on it so hard to get you shoes. It's just this car we really need it. It's really going to turn things around for us now. It's like, okay. And then Owen Schroyer corrected me. And it's more like your dad buys a sports car for his mistress. Your family doesn't even get to enjoy it. So I corrected it too. Your dad buys a sports car for his rapist friend. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Because I have a hard time feeling like this was for us. I get the arguments. I get it. But It's just not the top of my priority list. It's cool. It's cool to see your dad in a sports car, but it's kind of like, is that what we need right now? Or should we do some of the basics? Like, we can extract the president of Venezuela without losing a single man in an hour, in less than like 30 minutes. But Kilmar Abrego Garcia still haunts us. But we can't get the Haitians out of Ohio or the Somalians out of Maine. We can't arrest any of the blatant criminals that are just violating law after law in positions of power. Nothing we can do about that. You know why, right? You know why? Because there's no activist judge that can intervene and tell us to give Maduro back or stop us from doing things overseas. That's why I'm sort of serious. I think we need two presidents. I think we need, like, Trump can be our foreign president. He can handle all the foreign operations. And somebody like J.D. Vance can be deploying the military on U.S. soil to take care of the problems we have here. So it's not even like I'm against it. It's just like I wouldn't be against my dad having a sports car. You don't want your dad to have a sports car. It's like, well, just saying, is it the most responsible thing to be doing with our limited resources and limited time we have available to us to reclaim our sovereignty and heritage and continuing existence? I don't know. I don't know personally. But it is cool. But it is pretty dang cool. I feel again like I don't know why Dr. Strangelove just keeps popping up, but it's that scene in Dr. Strangelove where they're saying, is it possible for these bombers to get to their sites? And even though, you know, a bomber getting to its site would be the end of the world, right? It would be nuclear war. Still, as he's describing it, General Turgidson can't help but, like, get excited. They can get under the radar. You should see these big things swooping in. They get so good. they could make it if they wanted, right? It's kind of how I feel right now. It's like, yeah, they kidnapped a president. I'm not entirely sure about the legality of that or the purpose of it, but you should have seen these helicopters swooping in out of the fog. I mean, it was something else. It really was. I'm not even kidding. It really is something to behold. So let's behold it, shall we? Shall we behold the power and might and glory of the American military? I'd like to see the American people sort of benefit from powering this incredible military, but that's okay. I'm sure we will somewhere down the line, right? I'm sure. Well, let's go to some of these videos because, I mean, some of the clip 65 here. Look at the height at which the Night Stalkers descend, and it's totally fogged out. I don't know if this fog itself was natural or if this was smoke from some of the, you know, bombs, but I mean, you can see this two prop helicopter descend out of the fog and shoot across the horizon into another bank of fog really fast. So, I mean, they must be flying by radar because, I mean, it's completely foggy. I don't think there was any visibility whatsoever there. I mean, you should see some of these guys fly these helicopters. It is truly something else. How about clip, look at that. Just skimming along the tops of buildings, soaring through the clouds so fast. Just really incredible stuff. Let's go to clip 63 here. I think this was actually the moment of extraction because you have this helicopter floating and it's almost like you can't even see the helicopter. It's so stealth. It's almost hard to even see, but there it is. Do you see it right above the trees there? That's the helicopter. You see people descending from it. It's not even that loud. So this was it actually happening. Imagine being a Venezuelan driving by this. Am I witnessing my president be kidnapped right now? Maybe I should film this and put it on TikTok. Yeah, good idea. So there's the helicopter looming like a shadow over the home of Nicolas Maduro as they extract them. I think those may be the most impressive ones. Now, in response to this, obviously there has been a lot of outpouring of emotion on both sides. And I don't think you can look too much into this. Like I had, because I have examples of both, right? I have examples of people in Caracas, Venezuela, demanding the president back, right? Big crowds in Caracas that seemingly are opposed to what just happened. At the same time, there's other videos. There was a live streamer that it was a bunch of young people. They all looked to be in their, you know, early 20s, late teens. And they actually receive the information live that Maduro's been arrested. And they, like, you can see the excitement. And they're, like, crying tears of joy. They're so happy. So part of me is like, okay, this represents unadulterated, raw reaction. Young people in Venezuela, so happy. And you can, like, see it in their face. And you can even see for a moment they're scared to celebrate, because what if it was fake, right? What if you live in this dystopian, tyrannical system and they announce, oh, the president has been killed, and you go, yeah, heck yeah, great, I hated that guy. Like, okay, what if he's not actually dead? That was a test and you just failed. And so you can actually tell this moment when the streamers hear that Nicolas Maduro, and they all get, like, scared. And they all sort of look around and they're like, is it confirmed though? But is it confirmed? And it's not until it's actually, like, they show, you know, they show the screen and it must be a, you know, mainstream media headline saying it. And then they all start celebrating. So, like, clearly there's some nuance here, right? Clearly you can't say everybody in Venezuela is in favor of this. Everybody in Venezuela is against this. But a lot of it's being manipulated and a lot is being made of these videos, whether they're real or not. And even the so-called real ones kind of aren't real. I'll explain what that means in just a second. But let's go to clip 25 here, because I mentioned this. This is a Chinese promotion for the anti-stealth radar that they just sold to Venezuela that utterly and completely failed. So we can roll this video. It's in Chinese. We don't need the audio. But this was an ad that China produced for its anti-aircraft radar system. From the Eurasian Times, China's anti-stealth JY-27 radar flops in Venezuela. Did F-22, F-35 Hunter got hunted by USAF experts decode? The unprecedented capture of the Venezuelan president by the U.S. military has stirred several conversations among military strategists, observers, and defense enthusiasts. Interestingly, this includes the ineffectiveness of the radars that Caracas acquired from China. So they apparently bought 9 of these things, which were all of the ones available. They integrated these into Venezuela's air defense network alongside Russian systems like the S-300VM surface-to-air missiles, forming a layered defense around key sites, including Caracas. Didn't help very much. The entire defense network collapsed as U.S. jets entered Venezuelan airspace, hunting for targets whose location was perhaps already known. The JY-27 is a Chinese-made VHF band radar system developed by the China Electronics Technology Group Corporation. Venezuela acquired several units of these radars over the past few years as part of its air defense modernization. Designed to detect low observable crafts like the U.S. F-22 and F-35 by operating at meter wave frequencies that, in theory, exploit resonance effects on stealth designs, the JY-27 has been marketed by Beijing as anti-stealth or stealth hunter radar. Didn't really work, though. Didn't really work. That's what happens when you order your air defenses from Alibaba, unfortunately. It's what happens when you go to Temu for your anti-aircraft defense systems. Sorry. So in addition to, you know, sort of proving America's power to act anywhere in this hemisphere, pretty severe blow to the marketability of China's aircraft detection systems. So I like seeing that, because in general, I sort of, you know, in a general sense, hate China. So I like things that make them look bad in general. Now, clip 49 here, this was presented. Foreigners waving communist flags have taken over Times Square in New York City, demanding the release of Nicolas Maduro. So this is what it looked like inside the protest there in Times Square, as anti-capitalist, you know, communist protesters take it over. Look, they've taken over Times Square. Huge crowds there piling in to that iconic location. Taking over Times Square, right? Pretty sizable display, yes? Until you take a slightly different view. Let's go down to clip number 67 and see what this very same protest looks like from the sky.
Look, I'm going to show y'all something.
Yeah, not that impressive,
actually.
There's
nobody around these people.
That's actually
it. They're recording for TV. Look.
That's it.
They're down here like, come on.
That's the entire
thing. Cheer louder. Cheer more. And then you're going to see this on TV, and you're going to think that there's like a billion people down here. But look, there's really not.
Remember, they've taken over Times Square. Communists take over Times Square. You get the video. It's close up. It looks like a giant crowd. So, you know, people are pointing to, you know, community notes because a lot of videos went around showing, you know, big celebrations, and they turn out to be like World Cup celebrations from a couple years ago or something. It is literally something that happens every time a major world event happens. And for the most part, it's not dishonesty on the part of the people sharing it. And I think I shared one. It's like, wow, okay, people are celebrating. That's really cool. Turns out it was a video from a while ago. I didn't know that. I didn't gather the video, but you retweet something, you reshare something thinking that it's legitimate and it's not. And that happens a lot, and people point to it and go, oh, you're trying to convince us. But the same thing happens on the other side. Exact same thing happens. Oh, this crowd took over Times Square. And then you see it from far away and it's like 25 people. Not that big of a deal, actually. And again, I don't even know how much you can read into this anyway, but the thing to understand about it, as we go to clip number 31 here. This is another march in America of leftists. We can go ahead and roll this as B-roll. And what you'll notice is that they're waving the Venezuela flag. No war for Venezuela. See, 9 months ago it was the Ukrainian flag. Then it was the Palestinian flag. Then it was the Mexican flag or the Iranian flag. Now it's the Venezuela flag. These people just hate America is the thing I want you to understand. They don't care about any of these other countries. They'll wave any flag that's not an American one. And when America has a conflict, they're on the other side, no matter how legitimate or rational it is. Okay? I just want you to take that in and understand. They'll put their Venezuela flags away and they'll be pulling out their Ukraine flags soon enough, or their Iranian flags or whatever else. It doesn't matter to them. They just don't like America doing America things. Now, I'm in favor of America doing America things. I'd like to see it done a lot more. I'd like to see it be done to the people that are actually severely and directly hurting us. And maybe that was Venezuela. Maybe that was Venezuela by like one step removed. I don't know. But like I said, it's like, it's a cool sports car, but our roof is leaking. Okay. It was a really cool extraction, but I'm still becoming a minority in my own country, right? Venezuelans aren't being sent back. In fact, Kristi Noem was on TV yesterday saying Venezuelans can now apply for temporary protected status for some reason. Somehow we're getting more refugees out of this. You know, I'm happy it's not a full-scale war. I'm happy this isn't becoming Vietnam 2.0, not yet at least. I genuinely am. Still a little bit nervous about it. Still maybe not exactly what I want our government doing. Venezuelan here, they've captured the president and we celebrate. None of you understand how badly we wanted Trump to finally take down this man. Now we're free from the dictator's rule, so go ahead and hate on a man who liberated our country. We are grateful for this miracle. That could very well be true, and I have no doubt there are a lot of people in Venezuela that feel that way. Do you have any idea how many messages just like that would be spread by leftists if Donald Trump was taken out? That's why I can't really, you know, bank on this. Second front, how a socialist cell in the U.S. mobilized pro-Maduro foot soldiers within 12 hours. That's the thing. Like, can we take those guys out? They're on our soil. They're in our home. The Americans that we deal with are, to me, way more of a concern than Venezuela, especially when it comes to something like rigging the election. This is what I don't understand. Venezuela may have had something to do with it. It may be the heart of the operation. Smartmatic, Dominion, they may be Venezuelan companies working for Venezuela. That could all very well be true, but the election was stolen by ballot dumps in the middle of the night by ladies in Georgia who lied about a pipe breaking so they could get all of the observers away so they could feed into the machine hundreds of thousands of ballots, every one of which voted for Biden and nobody else, and not a single vote for Trump in the entire tranche. Are they from Venezuela? Is it more difficult to go after them? I mean, I guess in the disturbed, broken system that we currently live in, it is literally easier to kidnap the president of Venezuela than it is to arrest random ladies, election workers in Georgia that clearly violated the law and stole the election. That is literally easier because judges will intervene when it comes to ladies in Georgia, and nobody can stop Trump operating in Venezuela. But it's like, wouldn't you take care of that stuff first? do we really need Venezuela? Do we really need Nicolas Maduro to say this stuff? Will people even believe it? I mean, if Maduro comes out and says, yeah, we stole the election for Biden and here's how we did it. I mean, will people not look at that and just go, okay, he's just saying that to save his life because Trump basically threatened to kill him if he didn't? I don't know how convincing that's going to be. Stand with the Bolivarian Revolution. Hilarious. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Are they talking about Simón Bolívar? Are they talking about the breaking from Spain in the 1800s? What are we talking about? Do they have any idea? Anyway, we'll show you some clips from the Trump administration and what they're doing and what they've said following this. Made a lot of statements, some that are good, some that are maybe not so good in my professional opinion. Before we do that, I do want to remind you that we are going to report on this, whatever happens, and where we're all going to give our different views. And obviously, if you watched Alex Jones' show, and I don't really disagree with Alex. I completely understand his perspective, and you know, if he's right, he's right. I just happen to see some ulterior motives in the background. But regardless, it's like a responsibility of me to encourage you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, because Alex has given me, somebody that doesn't always agree with him, a platform to explore these situations. Where else would do that? You know, what other media organization does not have top-down instructions on how to cover things? And I've said it before, one of the only things Alex has ever told me to say, not telling me to say or how to cover something, but when Putin invaded Ukraine, he simply sent a message to Owen and I, Owen doing the War Room and me doing American Journal at the time, simply saying, take this seriously, this is war, right? Don't be flippant with this. Don't just like make jokes out of this. This is a big deal. It's war. People are dying and this could get really dangerous. So just, you know, do your research, make sure what you're saying is true, because this is a big deal, and I want you to treat it like it's a big deal. That's it. Now, not that you even had to say that, because obviously we recognize that, but that's the level of instruction I get from Alex Jones. Not, hey, you got to be against this. You got to be for this. You got to, you know, you got to say this is really good for, you know, Venezuela and that Trump's great. He never says that. I know he feels, and I think that's perfectly valid, and you know, it could be the right perspective. And again, that's how I'm just being honest. I literally approach these things by going, I disagree with Alex. What am I missing here? What am I missing? Alex has been doing this a lot longer than I have. And at times in the past when I've disagreed with Alex, I've been sort of wrong. So I'm going to take that into account. But all this is to say, there's no other outlet like this. There's no other organization like this. There's no other organization that you can put your trust in and truly understand that we are genuinely motivated by nothing but the truth, wanting peace, wanting America to be successful and sovereign, and want Americans to benefit. And while we may have slightly different ways of approaching that, I know Alex trusts me to do this and trusts me to maybe go off the rails sometimes, because he understands, as I hope you understand, that where I'm coming from is a patriotic Christian and loving position. So again, I just want to thank Alex for giving us the position to explore, giving us the, you know, opportunity to explore this and leeway to explore this. Literally hasn't said anything about this to me, but I'm going to get into, you know, what I think is really behind all of this. And I want you to support us in this mission, support us in our wide variety of views, always informed by the founding fathers and our North Star of basic libertarianism. Right now, we've got a new merch drop, the Broadcast Collection, ton of new shirts and hats. Really, our shirts and hats are some of the coolest, and it is the widest selection of Patriot apparel anywhere in the world, thealexjonesstore.com. And right now, you get a free bottle of Atomic Defense or the Shilajit gummies with the purchase of any supplement. That ends on Thursday, January 8th, so don't wait. Cold and flu season is here, and Atomic Defense has the ingredients you need to fortify your body's defenses. Shilajit gummies also work in conjunction by supporting cellular energy and helping your body to adapt to stress, which is one of the biggest immune killers. Add any supplement to your cart and get your choice of a free Atomic Defense or Shilajit gummy in your order. Don't miss out. This order ends Thursday, January 8th. That's thealexjonesstore.com. get your supplement today and get a free bottle of Atomic Defense or the Shilajit gummies, your choice. Personally, I recommend the Shilajit gummies because I like them so much. But Atomic Defense would be very useful in this winter time when cold and flus are spreading. Now, again, there was a lot of talk after this. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This made headlines. President Trump on Air Force One, I believe, after the successful extraction of Nicolas Maduro, being asked, what's next? Clip 13.
One of the things that is happening, and I think you see it all the time, Howard, you've seen it, that Cuba is ready to fall. You know?
Yes.
Cuba looks like it's ready to fall. I don't know how they, if they're going to hold out. But Cuba now
Lindsey Graham acting like a black woman in church there.
From the Venezuelan oil, they're not getting any of it. And Cuba literally is ready to fall. And you have a lot of great Cuban Americans that are going to be very happy about this.
Yes, preach. Preach, Brother Trump. Cheering him along. Practically vibrating with joy. Oh, Cuba next. Yes. Yes, Trump. Destroy them all. Yes, Senator Bloodfeast will have his fill of human blood one way or another. And like that type of thing, you got to ask questions. You got to wonder when Donald Trump is hanging out with Lindsey Graham, staying next to him like Salacious Crumb next to Jabba the Hutt, gibbering and laughing with joy as he threatens to take out another country. It's not the only country he threatened to take out. But you got to ask questions. Why is Lindsey Graham jittering with excitement? Not because of anything good. I'll just have you know that right now. But it wasn't just Cuba that Trump has his sights set on now. Let's go to clip number 14 here.
We're Greenland now?
Yeah.
How did we come up to Greenland?
So do you expect to take an action against Greenland?
Well, I don't want to talk about Greenland. Let's talk about Venezuela, Russia, Ukraine. We'll worry about Greenland in about 2 months. Let's talk about Greenland in 20 days.
On Venezuela, we talk so much about energy.
By the way, I will say this about Greenland. We need Greenland from a national security situation. It's so strategic.
More on the other side, folks. Second hour, we'll get into what's really happening behind the scenes.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, get a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Whatever happens in Iran at this point could easily be teed up for a false flag
just somebody in a building shoots into a crowd, and there's Trump and Netanyahu, and we've got the aircraft carriers, you know, strike groups going in.
Al Arabia writes, already the regime has made numerous threats should its nuclear facilities come under attack from either Israel or the West. Compiled from information leaked from an Iranian military source pointed to how Iran had put together a secret plan to retaliate after such an attack, which was codenamed Qiyama, or Judgment Day. The IRGC would immediately respond through missile attacks on the U.S. coalition's Arab and Muslim allies in the Gulf region, hitting military bases occupied by the U.S. coalition, as well as a series of suicide operations targeting U.S. and British interests in the area. But hasn't this playbook been in motion all along? And who would ultimately benefit from a war with Iran? Iran's crude oil and central bank are holdouts when it comes to globalism's grip, and they would be instrumental in starting World War III, which would fatten the New World Order's pocket and put an end to the global populism threatening New World Order domination.
Bibi has repeatedly been under indictment, issues of corruptions, issues of dysfunction. Even Mossad head leaders in the past five, Mossad leaders say this is not the way to approach the Middle East or Iran or the Palestinians. And Bibi has ignored all that. And basically, he's kowtowed to Trump, and he has tried to manipulate his way into Trump's good graces so that we would in some way end up fighting their war.
Iran is like five times bigger than Iraq and 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. The Houthis, with drones and you know, truck-launched small missiles, were able to drive our Navy out of the Red Sea. They drove us out of the Red Sea because the modern math doesn't work for our type of warfare. They fire a $100,000 missile or a couple of them at a ship, and we would have to spend $5 or $10 million worth of extremely high-tech surface defense missiles to try to stop these $100,000 drones. And our destroyers don't carry an unlimited number of these, a couple dozen, and they're out. They have to leave the area, return to a port that's not nearby, because they can't be launched at sea. They can only are reloaded at sea. They can only be reloaded dockside. So the math just doesn't work for American power projection the way that it used to. So if we get sucked into quote unquote rescuing Iranians, what does that mean? We're gonna drop Delta Force and SEALs into Tehran because we think that some people have been mistreated.
We know there's a big political, you know, changes happening. What is all this massive movement really about?
I do agree with exerting our influence in our hemisphere, because the unipolar moment that began in the 90s with the fall of the Soviet Union, the end of the Cold War.
A Soviet president, Mikhail Gorbachev, has been removed from power, and there are tanks now in the streets of Moscow. Vice President Gennady Yanayev says he has taken over as acting president, as the head of state of a special state committee. You're watching live pictures from Moscow this morning.
The unipolar moment is done. It's going to be a tripolar world, Russia, China, America. If you just look at the military, the three most powerful military nations, or it's the U.S. and the West financial system versus the BRICS, which has China, Russia, Brazil, India, South Africa. Either way, America is no longer the 1,000-pound gorilla that can just walk around the country smacking little monkeys around. That day is over. We can't even we couldn't even stop the Houthis from firing missiles in the Red Sea. So that's a key choke point. The Red Sea cuts off going all the way around Africa.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
I'm telling you, folks, I have so many crazy stories. Like, if this extraction hadn't happened, I still would be loaded to bear with all of these crazy stories, like the leftist causing a major power outage in Berlin. I mean, we touched on that. We've got people trying to break into J.D. Vance's house while ICE agents are being attacked in their own homes, which, of course, is why they want ICE agents to be demasked and identified so the leftist operatives can go hunt them at their own homes. Like, there's a lot going on besides Venezuela, but obviously that's the big one right now, so we'll stick to it for a moment. Going over what Mamdani is doing in the first couple of days of his administration. There's a lot going on, and none of it's good. But it seems like Trump is, you know, reveling in this post-victory glow and is looking around at who else might need the, you know, Delta Force treatment, including people here in America, perhaps. But we'll get into the real reason why all of this is happening in just a second. But after the successful extraction of Nicolas Maduro, Trump made statements about going after the Colombian president. Maybe we'll go after Mexico next. We definitely need to get Greenland at a certain point. And all these people have issued responses, right? Colombia president rages, come get me. I'm waiting in taunt to Trump from yesterday, or from today, actually. Greenland says U.S. attacking NATO ally would be the end of everything, says Danish PM. U.S. spy jet circles Mexico coast as Trump threatens Venezuela-style attack. Now, I don't know if any of these are actually going to happen, but, you know, clearly they're making the most out of this. They're making the most out of, you know, the fear that they're inspiring in other world leaders, especially here in this hemisphere, which I guess is a good thing overall. This is audio only, but it's from that same press conference, clip 42, Trump talking about Colombia. Colombia, of course, the president saying, come get me, I'm waiting, saying the people of Colombia will protect me. Here's what Trump said about the Colombian president on Air Force One.
Colombia is very sick, too, run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States. And he's not going to be doing it very long, let me tell you.
What does that mean? He's not going to be doing it very long.
He's not doing it very long. He has cocaine mills and cocaine factories. He's not going to be doing it very long.
So there will be an operation by the U.S. in Colombia?
It sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. All right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's, again, not on the top of my priority list. Systematically decapitating every leader in South and Central America. I don't know. But, of course, Lindsey Graham knows. Lindsey Graham is all for this. He is so excited. It's embarrassing. Let's go to clip 56 here. Here's Lindsey Graham.
Could have done it. And as to this commander-in-chief, he did something people talked about doing. You just wait for Cuba. Cuba is a communist dictatorship that's killed priests and nuns. They've preyed on their own people. Their days are numbered. We're going to wake up one day, I hope in 26, in our backyard, we're going to have allies in these countries doing business with America, not narco-terrorist dictators killing Americans. This is a big frigging day. And everybody in the world is thinking differently than they were just a few days ago because of what you did.
So there you go. He's excited about this. I pray and hope 2026 will be the year that we make Iran great again. Oh, well, there you go. Why not, right? So what do these two operations have to do with one another? Well, prior to the attack yesterday, they had a bunch of reasons about drugs, about electioneering. Now, apparently the charge about vote rigging that was supposed to be what Nicolas Maduro was charged on, apparently that's been dropped. Now it's just about the drug trafficking. But we are probably the only outlet to actually discuss the geopolitical importance of Venezuela when it comes to their support of Hezbollah and Iran. And it's very strange because I would point this out and have people accuse me of spreading Mossad talking points. It's like, no, you guys, this is what? Like, no, they're telling you is about all this other stuff. Nobody's saying this is all to benefit Israel. That's my interpretation of what I'm seeing go on, and the timing of all of this that I see is very, very suspicious. Right? I know Trump's talked about Venezuela before, but it was only like this summer when we really decided to focus on it, and it was around the same time that Trump didn't go all in with war with Iran like Israel wanted him to. And I can't help but guess, you know, suppose, I don't have any proof for it, but the timing was pretty convenient that Israel is saying, you have to attack Iran for us. Trump was saying, we can do one strike. We'll do one strike. We'll take out the, you know, it'll be this big thing. We'll take out the Bordeaux Center, but I'm not doing boots on the ground. I'm not doing anything like that. And Israel said to him, well, you got to help us round up the proxies because they've got Iran is the big target. That's the big enchilada. That's the bullseye that they're going for. But you had the Syrians. They took out Assad. Then you had Hezbollah. They took out Nasrallah, and they're working very hard right now in order to disarm Hezbollah. I don't think that's going to happen. I can tell you why in just a little bit. But, you know, all of the Iranian proxy groups are all being taken out instead of Iran or in the lead up to, you know, direct war with Iran that seems to be right around the corner. And again, not coincidental that the timing takes place like this. After all, one of the problems, one of the issues with going to war in the Middle East is it would cut off oil supplies from the Middle East because you can't have oil tankers, you know, chugging their way through a active war zone being shot at from both sides. So what do you need? You need a supply of oil that's not from the Middle East that you can guarantee. So maybe that has something to do with it. We have six refineries in Louisiana that are state of the art and perfectly designed to process the natural crude that we get out of Venezuela. So maybe that has a little something to do with it. So before the attack on Venezuela, I feel like I was like the only one talking about the association with Hezbollah and all this stuff. And you remember when we had Patrick Byrne on a couple months ago, I asked him about this and he mentioned this Isla de Margarita that was a Hezbollah stronghold that has basically been confirmed here. And we actually have a video of one of the attacks on that particular site from Adam Milstein. The reason all this matters, the U.S. allegedly struck a facility in or near the port city of Maracaibo linked to the assembly of Iranian drones. Hezbollah is responsible for setting up domestic assembly for Iranian-designed drones such as the ANSU-100 at Maracaibo. Hezbollah operatives provide the expertise needed to weaponize the drones. Hezbollah also ran Margarita Island facility, which served as Hezbollah's most critical operations base in the Western Hemisphere. The facility was a hub of document forgery, allowing operatives to obtain Venezuelan identification and travel throughout Latin America undetected. There was a paramilitary training center on the island, managed by the Nazaruddin clan, a family with close ties to Hezbollah and senior Venezuelan officials. In addition, the facility was also a consequential money laundering operation. And so, you know, in response to this, a lot of people basically are like, well, just because it's good for Israel doesn't mean that's why it happened. It's like, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it is. I mean, why not, right? Sort of ties into everything else. And I can't help but notice that immediately following this, a lot of American officials seem to acknowledge, you know, why exactly this is happening. But of course, it's about more than Israel, and Israel is about more than Israel, right? As I've always explained, Israel in and of itself, the country, the nation, I mean, how would I put this? It's a caterpillar that will one day be the butterfly. It's going to be destroyed on purpose so it can be replaced with a new country that's the seat of the global government. I mean, maybe it'll probably still be called Israel, but like they're setting up World War III. They're setting up, you know, to fulfill the prophecies that they're telling evangelicals that they're supporting by, you know, supporting Israel. Like they want a big conflict over Israel because they think that's what they need for Jesus Christ to come back. They need to rebuild the third temple. Like it's a much bigger story than just Israel. It's about having an international seat of control by which to govern the world. It's about creating the one world government, and the attempt to bring people into that willingly rather than by force, sort of a necessary component of their operation, is that it not be by force, because that's unsustainable. There's Netanyahu. Congratulations, President Trump, for your bold and historic leadership on behalf of freedom and justice. I salute your decisive resolve and the brilliant action of your brave soldiers. I'm sure it's not a coincidence that he was in Florida with Trump the day before this happened. If I had to guess, there's probably some sort of joint operation. Let's go to clip 23 here. This, again, is expanding it back even wider and recognizing how Venezuela plays into the attempt to dethrone the dollar as the world reserve currency. So let's go to clip 23 here. The real reason the U.S. is invading Venezuela goes all the way back to Henry Kissinger in Saudi Arabia. Let's watch.
The petrodollar is actually a device invented by Kissinger and Nixon.
U.S. President Richard Nixon sent his Secretary of State and National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger to Saudi Arabia for a secret meeting.
That meeting took place on a battleship called the USS Quincy, and very few records were kept of that meeting. But Roosevelt promised the King of Saudi Arabia weapons and protection in exchange for the United States to have the exclusive right to develop oil from Saudi Arabia using dollars. Meaning, if countries wanted to trade the most important commodity of all, oil, they needed to get their hands on dollars. And from that point on, oil would be priced in USD. And if a country tried to get their hands on oil without using dollars, that country historically needed more freedom in their lives.
Yeah, needed more freedom in their lives. Obviously this has to do with more than just drug running, more than just the election. It's about preserving the petrodollar, which is also about preserving hegemony in the Middle East and cutting off supplies to China and to Russia, right? This is one section of the worldwide risk board that's being played right now. And it's funny, there's a meme going around that shows the risk board. And basically it's like if you have Alaska and you have Venezuela and you have Greenland, those are all of the avenues of entry into the United States. So it's almost like Trump is playing a big game of risk right now. And he recognizes that Greenland is like a bridge into America. It is key to our defense if you're playing risk. I don't know about in reality, but certainly the risk game. And so as soon as this Venezuela attack happens, you have a lot of people posting videos of Maduro or, you know, his proxies, including the current vice president there, who gave a speech essentially saying that this was all at the behest of the Zionists. Let's go to clip number 35 here. Venezuela's vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, saying that Venezuela was attacked by Zionists seeking to enslave them. Let's watch. Says the governments around the world are simply shocked that the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela is the victim and target of an attack of this nature, which undoubtedly has a Zionist tinge. It's truly shameful. Our father liberator said it in the Jamaica letter. The veil has been torn. We have already seen the light. And they want to drag us back into darkness. The chains have been broken. We've already been free. And our enemies intend to enslave us again. If there's one thing that the Venezuelan people in this country are absolutely clear about is that we will never again be slaves. All of Venezuela is mobilized, and the decree has already been signed by President Maduro, the only president of Venezuela. There's only one president in this country, and his name is Nicolas Maduro Moras. There she says it has a Zionist tinge to it, and that it's an attempt to enslave Venezuela. And it's a very convenient thing for people to say when they are bad guys. And as I've said over and over, like, socialist leftists in America are correct about Israel for the same reason that they're wrong about everything else, right? They see everything in this dichotomy of white versus brown and white bad, brown good. And when they apply that dichotomy to Israel, they land on Israel bad because it's white, Palestinians good because they're brown. That's not the view that I see the world through, but I happen to agree with where they end up. It's not exactly the same here. I do think Maduro is a socialist scum, and I have heard from people from Venezuela who have had their lives destroyed and all of their, you know, life's work stolen from them. So I don't think he was a good guy by any means. But I also think that this is not a random coincidence. I don't think it's a random coincidence that this happened in the time period that it happened. Just after the attack on Iran, everything simmers down in the Middle East. We immediately start attacking Iran's allies here in this hemisphere. Again, I just don't see the coincidence. And then following the attack on Venezuela, a lot of Trump's admin or people speaking on behalf of Trump sort of come out and said, yeah, this was good for Israel. Now, whether that means that's the reason it happened, I'll leave that up to you to decide. It just seems like everything America does happens to be good for Israel. Even when it's bad for the United States, it still happens to be good for Israel. Let's go to clip 33 here. This is the U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, saying that the U.S. takeover of Venezuela is good for Israel. They're not exactly having to do the heavy lifting. Let's watch.
Let's bring in U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, and it's going to make sense why we're bringing him on in just a moment, because what happens in Venezuela, what happens in Israel, everything's connected, Iran. First off, let me ask you this, Ambassador, your reaction when you saw what happened with the military and law enforcement operation in Venezuela.
Well, my first reaction, Rob, was to say, praise the Lord and thank you, President Trump. A lot of people may not make the connection as to why this matters to us in the Middle East. What they don't know is that Hezbollah is very active in Venezuela. There has been a 20-year partnership between Iran and Venezuela under both the two previous dictators. The ties are deep. And Hezbollah operates in 12 different countries throughout South America. It is not just a threat in the Western Hemisphere. It is a threat to the Middle East. So for the president to go after Venezuela not only deals with narco-terrorism and the many deaths of Americans who are killed by the poison of drugs, it is going to make life for those of us living in the Middle East much better, much safer to take Maduro out, to recognize that Hezbollah is active here, targeting not just Jewish people in all over South America, but using those tentacles to ultimately reach into the United States. This is good news for America, good news for the world.
All right, of course, he's not the only one. We can go to clip 30 here. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Mike Waltz, who, of course, was at the center of the Scandalgate controversy, tried to oust Pete Hegseth ahead of, you know, starting a war with Iran. He was discovered to be actually collaborating and coordinating with Benjamin Netanyahu in secret behind Trump's back and was forced to resign from that. But he got a cushy job as representative of America at the UN. As a consequence of this, clip 30, here he is calling Venezuela an operating hub for Hezbollah. Let's watch.
Entering the United States and increasingly Europe. As Secretary Rubio stated just yesterday, this is the Western Hemisphere. This is where we live. And we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be used as a base of operation for our nation's adversaries and competitors and rivals of the United States. You can't turn Venezuela into the operating hub for Iran, for Hezbollah, for gangs, for Cuban intelligence agents, and other malign actors that control that country. You cannot continue to have the largest energy reserves in the world under the control of adversaries of the United States, under the control of illegitimate leaders, and not benefiting the people of Venezuela, and stolen by a handful of oligarchs inside of Venezuela. But it doesn't stop there. Numerous UN and international human rights organizations have issued reports documenting.
So again, I just find this a little strange that prior to the extradition, forcible extradition of Nicolas Maduro, I don't remember hearing much about Hezbollah. I don't remember hearing much about Iran. I heard a lot about drugs. I heard a lot about electioneering. I heard a lot about being the hub of the cartels. That was before the operation. Now the operation's happened. Everybody's coming out and saying, well, look, this was necessary for Israel and Hezbollah and Iran. We're using Venezuela as a base of operations. And it's like, okay, well, then why didn't you tell us that beforehand? Because then it would have looked like America was doing a military operation on behalf of Israel and not our own interest. But now that it happened, you're okay with saying it. It's a little dishonest to me. And of course, this has been outright said by the likes of Mike Huckabee and Mike Waltz. But you also have a Freudian slip with General Jack Keane, clip 53 here. This went viral yesterday. Let's watch what he says Venezuela was about.
The implications here are really great for the Venezuelan people.
Yeah, one of them, you know. The implications here are really powerful for Israel. I mean Venezuela. It's like, was that a Freudian slip? Because Venezuela, or, you know, Israel was really the beneficiary here. Is it just a matter of that's what's on the mind? That's what's on the minds of the generals. Like, they're not used to talking about anything but Israel. So it comes out, even when that's not what they're talking about. And again, this has been what the people who run Venezuela have been saying for a while. Again, it makes a convenient excuse. It makes a convenient sort of sacrificial goat, right? Oh, our economy's bad. Well, those darn Zionists, it's their fault. So I get why you'd sort of roll your eyes at that. But on the other hand, we're saying it too. Our ambassadors are saying it. Our diplomats are saying it. Even regular people are saying it. Clip number 72 here. Again, this doesn't seem like a ridiculous supposition for people like this. Let's watch.
In the 1990s, there were up to 30,000 Jews in Venezuela. Almost all of them left. A lot of them came here to Miami or went to Panama or to Israel. The reason they left is because Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro advocated for state-sponsored anti-Semitism. They also did everything they could to use all of their natural resources and money to help Iran and Hezbollah destroy Israel. So the Jewish people won't miss Nicolas Maduro. And Maduro, on behalf of the Jewish people, welcome to America.
Okay, so maybe that had a little bit to do. Maybe it had something to do with it. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was about the drugs. Maybe it was about the election. Maybe it was about the war against Iran. They were making drones there. Hezbollah had bases there. Hezbollah was running cocaine to Europe in order to pay for that. I mean, as soon as this operation commences, they launch Operation Iron Strike against Iran. We'll get into that in the next segment as well. The timing's convenient.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish DMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
So again, it's a little bit weird that for the last several months, I've been like the only one out here saying, guys, this whole thing with Venezuela, it's about Israel. It's about helping Israel. It's about Hezbollah having operations there. It's about attacking the proxies while Iran is, able to defend itself. I haven't seen anybody else say this. And again, it was very weird when I would express this. People would say, oh, that's proof you're Mossad. This is a Mossad talking point. It's like, nobody is saying this. Typically, the Mossad talking points are whatever the mainstream media is saying. They weren't saying that this was about Hezbollah and Iran. Not until after the operation. Now, after the operation, they're coming out admitting it. And so you've got the Maduros and the Maduronites, right? The socialists who run Venezuela, they're saying this was a Zionist attack. But then conversely, you have the Zionists saying this was for the benefit of Israel. It's like the only people not saying this are the Americans who are saying it's about something else. But I don't know. The victims and the perpetrators are like the subject of the attack and the people cheering for the attack. both are saying that this is for Israel's sake. I'll show you videos about that. We can look more at, you know, videos of Maduro and others before they were taken out. And go to clip 69 here. This was posted with Maduro dropping truth bombs, apparently. Let's watch what Maduro was saying about his country prior to this latest assault. He says those tribes from the 12, they're not the only ones who rule today. The state of Israel, those who govern today, Netanyahu, is not an authentic Jew. He is a scoundrel who comes from Poland. For those who like to talk about religions, say this is a religious conflict. No, this is not a religious conflict. This, the conflict that exists since the foundation of the state of Israel is a geopolitical conflict. Because that state was created to conquer the entire Middle East and Central Asia, to take away the riches and colonize those people. It is the Zionist project that they say goes from the Jordan River to the Euphrates and beyond. And that, of course, is the slogan of the Likud party, or their manifesto begins with, you know, from the river to the sea will be controlled by Israel. All right, so he's not exactly wrong there. That's not necessarily the reason why he was taken out. Let's go to clip number 68 here. This is Maduro, again, claiming that the attack on Venezuela is coming from Zionists. Let's watch. They're waiting for the start of what could be a war of greater dimension than the one in Ukraine and surpasses the war of the genocide in Gaza. Because we were talking about a powerful military, units from Lebanon, Yemen, Iraq, Iran, among others, Netanyahu is seeking to set the entire Middle East on fire with a war no one knows how it may begin, but one does not know the ramifications and the impact it is going to have in the midst of U.S. and Western economy in recession, in the midst of an economic crisis of those who were the main drivers of the world economy for decades. That is the truth. That is why we have to defend Venezuela's independence, Venezuela's peace, our own Bolivarian nationalist project. That is why we have to defend Venezuela from falling into the hands of Zionism. Zionism wants to get its hands on Venezuela and has an attack group. An attack group we already know, fascists. Everything is linked. But Venezuela will overcome all difficulties, all circumstances. So there again, you know, he's saying the same thing that Mike Waltz is saying. He's saying the same thing that Mike Huckabee is saying. Well, you know, all these things are really deeply intertwined. Well, you know, Venezuela has a really big impact on what goes on in the Middle East. And of course, he brings up Ukraine too. One of the main reasons why I think the Ukraine war was allowed to start when we could have interrupted the run up to war at any point. I mean, clearly they wanted the war in Ukraine, and at this point they want the war in Ukraine to continue, despite it being an impossible-to-win cluster F right now that is only getting worse for them. They're, you know, maintaining. Oh, and by the way, Zelensky just had two of his top lieutenants get caught stealing $100 million from Ukraine. Both of them had fled to Israel, where they won't be extradited to face justice. And one of their replacements, Chrystia Freeland, the woman from Canada, who was Justin Trudeau's deputy, who was the one in the forefront of the, you know, crackdown against the truckers and, you know, made the case and got their bank accounts taken away from them. Chrystia Freeland, WEF champion, who was the hatchet man for Justin Trudeau and the operative in Justin Trudeau's government that was the, you know, representative from the WEF mafia. So Chrystia Freeland, I guess, did such a good job stripping Canadians of their God-given rights that now she's going to get to loot Ukraine along with everybody else. Isn't that nice? And of course, part of that at least was tying down Russia, because if Russia wasn't encumbered by the weight of Ukraine and the Ukraine war, then they'd be able to help out Iran quite a bit more. And they would have been able to help out Bashar al-Assad. when he was overthrown. By tying down Russia and Ukraine, you free up, you know, Israel for action in the Middle East without Russia being able to help their allies like Iran and the Assad regime to resist. So this is all very, very deeply interconnected. You don't have to listen to me. I'm not listening. I'm just noticing what's going on. So you could do that, or you could listen to the people doing it, or you could listen to the people that are victims of it. We all agree. We all agree what this is about. And they're openly saying it at this point. But let's go to clip number six here. This is friend of the show, Matt Baker. He actually himself translated some of Nicolas Maduro's speeches and is posting them on X. Let's go to clip number six now.
So if you want to know why Maduro was taken out and replaced with the Zionist pig Maria Cuchina Machado.
She's actually not replacing.
Listen to this translated speech from Maduro. And then compare it and contrast it with the statements from Cuchina herself.
Attention world. Now the racists and supremacists of Zionism today want to wipe out the Palestinian people. And I say more, they want to wipe out the entire Arab people, the entire Muslim people.
I would like to thank Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of the State of Israel.
They have sown an ideology of hatred, of racism. They have been sowing it for 75 years with the support of the West. Attention, world. All right. For those listening to me, pay attention. Men and women from the United States, from Europe, and from around the world have sown an ideology more dangerous than Nazism. First against the Palestinian people, raids, extermination, genocide, atomic bombs, and then they come for the Arab peoples, all of them, all Muslim peoples, and after that they want to come for us, the Christians, the Catholics.
I myself look forward to visit the state of Israel as soon as we conquer freedom.
Let us urgently and decisively stop the ongoing genocide in time. Let us unequivocally and resolutely stop the horrific Zionist genocide against the beloved, resilient Palestinian people in time, before it is too late.
We will prevail. And I can announce this, that our government will move our Israeli embassy to Jerusalem.
Wait a minute. Did she just say, as soon as we conquer freedom?
I myself look forward to visit the state of Israel as soon as we conquer freedom.
As soon as we conquer freedom.
Yeah, sounds pretty interesting. You can follow Matt Baker at Slave to Liberty. So again, you can, you know, frame this however you want. It just seems to me like a continuation of the world war that we are currently fighting on behalf of Israel. That's just how it seems to me. And it seems like Iran is obviously next in line. I'm not the only one noticing this. And Iran is being embroiled right now in these crazy protests, something like 81 protests across 23 provinces in that country. And we can just go through, you know, some of these stories, some of these headlines. Mike Pompeo wrote a piece in the New York Times, Next Step for Venezuela and Iran, U.S. Push for a Democracy. Talking about how, again, basically this attack on Venezuela was just one part of a, you know, attempt to globally go after Iran and all of their friends. Steve Bannon commented on this. Daily Mail wrote the article, U.S. names its three biggest priorities for Venezuela. Steve Bannon comments, let me make sure I understand this. America's number two priority for all the effort expended and to be expended in Venezuela is for, quote, Israel first removal of alleged Hamas Hezbollah. Sounds like Ratcliffe slash CIA slash Mossad pitch to Miriam Adelson. Let's get serious. Adelson, let's get serious, Marco. Okay, so that's Steve Bannon basically going, oh, okay, so Venezuela was about Israel then. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. That's what you're admitting, Marco Rubio. And again, the Daily Mail article, Marco Rubio has revealed America's top three priorities after the capture of Venezuelan Nicolas Maduro, Venezuelan president. As unanswered questions spark across both nations, the first steps are securing what's in the national interest of the United States and also beneficial for the people of Venezuela. No more drug trafficking, no more Iran and Hezbollah presence there. So that would be the next top thing. And of course, the drug trafficking isn't really the biggest concern out of Venezuela. A lot of other places like Mexico, a lot bigger drug trafficking. So again, I question the priority listing here. Seems like they talk a hell of a lot more about Hezbollah when questioned about the importance of Venezuela now after it's done than they did before, where it was all about the drugs. They seem to have changed their story a bit. Ambassador Mike Huckabee, what does the crime network of Venezuela have to do with the Middle East? More than you realize. Hezbollah is embedded there and financed by Iran. Taking down Maduro is good news for the whole world, even half a world away. Especially half a world away. Almost exclusively, it's better for the people half a world away. This in response to Hezbollah presence in Venezuela represented a threat to national security of the U.S. and the region in general. According to FDD, Hezbollah uses Venezuela to conduct illicit operations such as money laundering and drug trafficking. And did anybody tell you this months ago other than me? Was anybody out there saying that this was what it was about? No, now that it's done, everybody's admitting it. But prior to this, I was being called crazy for saying this seems like what it's all about. Rubio vows to eliminate Hezbollah-Iran operations from Venezuela after Maduro capture. A day after the elite U.S. forces captured wanted narco-terrorist and former Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro in Caracas, Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced that the Iran-backed Lebanese terrorist movement Hezbollah will no longer have operations in the South American state. And by the way, at this same time, they are working with the Lebanese government in pressuring Hezbollah to disarm. And they're really pulling out all the stops for this, and they're really trying to get this done. And Hezbollah is not in a good position. After all, they, you know, have now ISIS to their north and Israel to their south and Syria, who was once a valuable ally and a conduit for weapons and equipment to Iran, has been severed. So they're sort of isolated now in Lebanon. They were, you know, severely hampered by the attacks against them by Israel, including killing the leader Nasrallah. And then this is from Laura Loomer, basically coming out and saying it. The genius of President Trump's geopolitical synchronicity, Netanyahu's Mar-a-Lago visit, U.S. strikes against Venezuela, and the broader push against Iran and its proxies. Okay? So I guess she's the person obsessed with Israel that won't stop talking about this. The timing of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's attendance at President Donald Trump's New Year's Eve celebration in Mar-a-Lago on the 31st of December, followed mere days by a U.S. operation in Venezuela on January 3rd, appears far from coincidental. The sequence of events aligns with a possibly coordinated strategy to disrupt Iran's global influence, particularly through its economic lifelines and proxy networks like Hezbollah. Oh, you don't say. Gee. If only we'd known. If only somebody had told us that this is what it was all about. Maybe we would make a different choice. Maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, it seems to be what it's about. Almost completely. And again, you've got Laura Loomer saying this, so take it up with her if you disagree with me. Like I said, the Venezuelans seem to think this is about Zionism. The Zionists seem to think this is about Zionism. The only people that don't think this is about Zionism, well, no, they do now. No, Marco Rubio, and I was going to say the Trump administration, but no, they're saying it's about that too now. So, okay. So I guess I was right all along. How interesting. What an interesting development, me being right the whole time. How crazy is that? I wish it wasn't the case, you know. I wish we acted for ourselves sometimes. I really do. I really do wish that we used the most powerful empire in the history of the world to go after our real enemies. But there they are standing next to Donald Trump, so that's not happening anytime soon. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish I could unironically and unambiguously celebrate the power and effectiveness of the American military and how it's used for us and how we benefit from it. But we don't. We power it. We create it. We are the people that are actually carrying this out. It's our technology. It's our money. It's our genius. It's our bravery. It just doesn't benefit us. It's our expenditure. It's just not our return. It's a little frustrating. It's not new, not anything new. How much of our, has the first year of Trump's administration been absolutely dominated by the concerns of Israel? So, you know, again, I wish I could say, nope, this was straight up America, pro-America, for America. I don't think it is. Personally, I don't think it is. And the minute, more or less the minute this happens, Israel announces a new operation and the minister of the diaspora in Israel put out a video where he flips a timer and basically says, it begins now. Clip 51, former Israeli Prime Minister Bennett, and I believe he's still the minister for the diaspora, saying, basically, Iran's time has come. Clip 51. Okay. TikTok, I guess. And so it's not a coincidence that at the same time you have this 81 protests across 23 provinces in Iran on January 4th. Basically all over, you have these massive protests breaking out. There's a bunch of video of it. Not a lot of it is good. I mean, you just sort of see what look to be protesters clashing with security forces. But we don't have a ton of information about this. It was released yesterday that Ayatollah Khamenei has plans to flee from Moscow if Iran unrest intensifies and becomes untenable. Not saying that he's leaving right now, but that his plan is basically do what Bashar al-Assad did and, you know, seek protection in Russia. If Israel were to move against them in a big way, which they seem to be doing, Israel approves Operation Iron Strike, signaling escalation against Iran. Approval of new operation exists within a wider mandate for the IDF to fully disarm Hamas and other militant factions throughout 2026. To maintain pressure and operational control, the IDF continues to hold positions along a fortified defensive frontier known as the Yellow Line in Gaza. Supporting these offensive plans is a major technological upgrade. The Israeli military expects to fully deploy the Iron Beam laser defense system in early 2026. This new system is designed to provide a cost-effective layer of defense against incoming drones and rockets. Iran fears new U.S. attack as protests grip nation. U.S. President Donald Trump warned Iran it would be hit very hard if more protesters died as a consequence of the crackdown. U.S. weighs Iran intervention after Maduro ousted. Again, Jerusalem Post here connecting these two things. Jerusalem Post received multiple indications the U.S. is considering some intervention in the ongoing Iran protest. At the same time, Israel is also checking if the removal of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro will make action against the Iranian regime possible. It appears as though Israel was surprised by America's intervention in Venezuela. Yeah, I'm sure. And that this action scrambled Israeli calculations on what might be possible in the Islamic Republic. Yeah, gee, it seems like taking out Nicolas Maduro had immediate positive outcomes for Israel. What, imagine that. Iran's leader struggled to end protests. U.S. action in Venezuela stokes fears. Again, more concern as a consequence of the attack on Maduro, as Iran recognizes what's next for this. The U.S. is deploying a significant buildup of military equipment and aircraft to the Middle East, with Delta Force and the 160th SOAR reportedly heading to Iraq as early as next week, according to flight tracking and open source intelligence. Of course, Israel bombs Lebanon, saying it targeted Hezbollah and Hamas. An Israeli army spokesperson said earlier the planning for airstrikes on Hezbollah and Hamas military infrastructure in the villages of Hamara and Ain el-Tineh in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, and Kiar Heta and Anan in the south. And we actually have videos of some of those. So the pressure on Lebanon is mounting, and Israel launches deadly strikes in Gaza in new ceasefire violations. So in the last 24 hours, they have bombed Lebanon. They have bombed Gaza. As well as several videos coming out just showing literally Israeli soldiers just killing Gazans for fun to celebrate New Year's. That's kind of creepy. This is all going on at once. From DefenseMirror.com, after Venezuela, is the U.S. poised to invade Iran? After Venezuela, escalating U.S. and military and U.S. and Israeli military activity linked to Iran is raising questions over whether Washington is moving towards direct military action against Iran. Preparations appear to be underway for a large-scale strike involving the U.S. Air Force, U.S. Navy, and Israeli Air Force, according to regional security reporting and open-source tracking. At least 8 U.S. Air Force C-17A Globemaster III transport aircraft have reportedly arrived at RAF Fairford in Gloucestershire UK, a hub previously used ahead of the June 2025 U.S. strikes on Iran. Similar deployments in the past were associated with the transfer of 2,000-pound GBU-31B guided bombs and a large number of AGM-88 anti-radiation missiles, Russian Arms Telegram channel wrote. U.S. ground movements have also been reported in Iraq and Syria. An Iraqi security source says around 150 trucks carrying troops and combat equipment departed from the U.S. Ain al-Assad airbase in Iraq's al-Anbar province towards the At-Tanif, the al-Tanif airbase in Syria, and Harir airbase in Erbil. The movements are seen as an effort to reinforce U.S. positions amid concern over possible retaliation by Iran-aligned armed groups following any strikes on Iranian military industrial sites. Clashes as Haradi protesters erupt on IDF enlistment day, because you actually have the IDF, or rather the Israeli people, engaged in massive protest against Netanyahu right now, as they have been for the last several years. And it always seems like right when Netanyahu is either about to go to court for his trial or about to, you know, face massive sustained protests in Tel Aviv, they tend to start another war. There could be something aligned here. We can go to clip number 40. Another week of massive protests in Tel Aviv. These the biggest since October. But, of course, they typically happen just before Israel goes to war. We can go to that as B-roll here just to see the protests there in Tel Aviv. Of course, those are good. Those are fine. Those are okay. Those don't mean anything. The protests in Iran, however, mean we have to overthrow their countries, right? We can go to clip number 20. Since this morning, Israeli forces have detonated just a huge number of residential buildings east of Gaza City. So despite the ceasefire, the destruction continues in a deliberate attempt to make the land unlivable. Despite the ceasefire and the promise to Trump that the Gazans would be allowed to live there, that's really not happening. We can go to clip number 39, a wave of Israeli airstrikes on southern Lebanon that have just happened. We can roll those as background. We also have a Jewish soldier in the IDF blowing up a Palestinian house. We can go to clip number 37 here. This apparently he was saying to his girlfriend or his wife, my dear wife Sarah, are you ready? There's going to be a big explosion. And there they, just for fun, that's so fun. Isn't that fun? We're going to wipe out the memory of Amalek. Now, remember, if you're wondering who Amalek is, if you are a European, it's you and the Palestinians and anybody else they want to call Amalek, because Amalek was actually a tribe that's long extinct, but it doesn't matter. It's anybody they decide are enemies. We're going to go to clip 47 here as we end. Despite the ceasefire, here's an Israeli soldier just firing into Gaza for no reason. We'll come back to that. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Simple how it works. In the case of something like Iran, you send operatives into Iran with briefcases full of cash. They insinuate themselves into rebellious factions within Iran. They encourage uprisings, attacks on the domestic security forces, or just, you know, large riots and protests. And that's one pincer of the pincer move. The other pincer of the pincer move is you have the American government announce if Iran cracks down on these protests, America will get involved. So you try to hamper their response while, you know, fostering the internal turmoil. All of this, you know, timed to coincide with the kidnapping of Maduro and the elimination of various proxies around Israel, including Hezbollah in Lebanon. That's the big push right now. And they've been trying this forever, and a similar tactic is used. There's actually, it was called the Caesar Act a little while ago, and essentially American muscle, American prosperity, the American economy being used to try to crush Lebanon and convince the Lebanese government to take action against Hezbollah. It hasn't really worked, and I'll show you a video that explains why. But again, from Al Jazeera, Israel has continued its attacks on Lebanon despite a U.S. Brokered ceasefire in 2024, which ended more than a year of heavy fighting between its forces and Hezbollah. The Israeli military has repeatedly violated the truce with bombardment and continues to occupy five areas in the country. Lebanon has faced growing pressure from the U.S. and Israel to disarm Hezbollah, and its leaders fear Israel could escalate strikes. Lebanon's army was expected to complete the disarmament south of the Litani River, 19 miles from the border of Israel, by the end of 2025. Of course, that hasn't happened. Beirut-based security affairs analyst Ali Rizik says the latest attacks come as no surprise following last week's meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. There have been reports that Israel got the green light to escalate against Hezbollah. The Lebanese government is expected to meet on Tuesday to discuss the army's progress in disarming Hezbollah, which remains powerful despite heavy losses it sustained at the hands of Israel, which include the killing of longtime leader Hassan Nasrallah in September 2024. A ceasefire monitoring committee, including peacekeepers from Lebanon, Israel, France, the U.S., and the United Nations, is set to meet in the coming days. Israel's continued bombardment has drawn sharp criticism from the U.N., who has reported in November that at least 127 civilians, including children, have been killed in Lebanon since the ceasefire took effect in late 2024. UN officials have warned the attacks amount to war crimes. And now they're trying to, you know, get the Lebanese government to try to disarm Hezbollah. I don't think that's going to happen. Clip 57 is why. This is a speech from the late leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. Let's watch. Clip 57 here. She says, what is happening in Gaza proves that the international institutions, the international order, the international community, and the international law is not able to protect any people. International law, international order is meaningless. It is unable to protect anyone. Memorize this, O Lebanese. 22,000 martyrs and nearly 60,000 wounded in Gaza, and the international community just watches. And then you have some Lebanese people seeing this and saying, hand over your weapons. The UN resolution will protect us. The international community will protect us. Allow me to say, it isn't about differences of perspective anymore. This is an opinion, and this is another, and you have to respect them. No, this has become a blindness of the heart, a blindness of the sight. It is a blindness of insight. Indeed, it is not the eyes that are blind, but it is the hearts and chests that grow blind. Isn't that the reality now? What does this experience say, and what will I transition the last section of the speech. This experience says that if you are weak, the world will not acknowledge nor you, nor will it protect you, nor will it defend you, nor will it cry for you. Even crying, it will not cry for you. What will protect you? And they're all chanting at your service, Nasrallah at your service. What will protect you is your power, your courage, your fist, your weapons, your missiles, and your presence in the battlefield. Like, do you see how damaging Israel is to its own ends? They take the way that Israel has been treating the Palestinians and they say, do you want to be treated like that? Because that's what happens when you rely on the international community to protect you. You have to protect yourself. They're not giving up their weapons.
Right. Simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWar.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're listening to The War Room. With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, bands.video. By the way, please follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. And if you wouldn't mind liking and retweeting some stuff, that would be really nice. That'd be really nice. I've always had a particular disdain for people on X that every time I see one of their posts, it's them complaining about their posts not being seen. And I always just think like, well, just post better stuff. People will see your stuff. Then I became the victim. Then I became the victim of true shadow banning. And it's very frustrating, to be honest with you. And, it happened because I took a week off for Thanksgiving. I didn't realize taking a week off for Thanksgiving from X would mean that I just would be destroyed in popularity. It's, again, a little bit frustrating. And it's, I wouldn't complain if it was just like, oh, I'm not doing as, you know, my posts aren't doing as well as they normally are. I ran the numbers. I'm getting a quarter of the reach that I was getting before Thanksgiving. It kind of sucks. It's like, it's kind of nice routinely getting like posts to go viral and having millions of people see them. Kind of nice. I'm at a quarter of my reach. And it was like, I took a week off. I came back. My numbers were low. I thought, all right, well, the first week I'm back, it's probably fine. Now it's been like 5-6 weeks. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So I want to ask you to help me overcome this. Help me overcome the fact that, I don't know, taking a week off means I'm not allowed to be popular on X anymore. So I would appreciate it if you'd tweet out some of our stuff, retweet some of our stuff, share our stuff. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, InfoWars at InfoWars, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live. Lots of ways to connect to us and share our stuff. But I would appreciate humanity overcoming the algorithmic restrictions that have been placed on me, apparently. Again, I've never been one of those people that I'm just going to like post constantly like, why are my posts not doing well? But man, it is frustrating. It is very frustrating knowing that, you know, 2 months ago, the posts, certain posts, I'm like, this is going to get big. This one's going to get big and then just goes nowhere. It's like, well, this sucks. It just kind of sucks. And again, I wouldn't be complaining if it wasn't literally a quarter of the reach that I used to have. So it's a little frustrating, and I would love your help to circumvent some of the restrictions that we've been placed on. It's also funny people being like, maybe it's because you went after Candace and everybody hates that. It's like, actually, funnily enough, I gained followers for the first time in a year after the Candace stuff. And I'm talking about Thanksgiving. I'm talking about weeks before anything with Candace happened. But it's okay. Candace followers maybe not the best at timelines. I don't know. They may not be the best. And by the way, it's sort of broken containment and is going a little bit mainstream. Oh, is she talking about it? She's back. Okay, yeah, she's back on air today. She'll probably talk about it. How do y'all think she's gonna take this? Because now the guy's saying his dad is the Zodiac killer, which is interesting, which doesn't exactly contribute to his trustworthiness. And you know what's funny? It's like everything, it's almost like everything can be interpreted both ways. Like, I don't know, when people were criticizing this Mitch Snow guy, the defense of him, Candace will be like, well, you know, he didn't even want to be on the show. And I was like, but he was on your show. But he was, though. So, like, what do you mean he didn't want to come on the show? He pretended not to? Oh, and you said you want to come on the show? He said, I don't know. I'm not really looking for fame. But then he ended up coming on your show. So, see, when I don't want to go on a show, I don't go on that show. So, it seems like if he didn't want to be on the show, if he didn't want attention from this, then he wouldn't have gone on your show, right? Does that make sense? And then they're like, somebody else was like, oh, he's refusing to accept any money. Like, okay, on one hand, that could be an admirable thing where he's just like, look, I want to prove this is not about money, so I'm not accepting any money. Could also be the opposite. Could also be that he doesn't want to get charged with fraud and that accepting money on the basis of a lie would constitute fraud. So he's saying, I don't want the money. I refuse to accept the money. Like, okay, well, is that because you're such a good guy, or is that because you know that accepting the money would constitute fraud? I wonder. I don't know. I don't know which one it is, but it could be either. Could be either. But it's breaking containment, and I've seen a lot of YouTubers that I watch, not about politics, are covering this, mostly because Alex went after her, and these people weren't really paying attention to Candace, and then saw Alex's coverage, and were like, Wait, if Alex Jones is saying that you are being a crazy conspiracy theorist, maybe we need to look into this. So now there's all like, well, Willie Mac show. It's pretty popular, like drama YouTuber that will, you know, talk about people who are running scams and stuff like that. And he put a video out saying Candace Owens is unironically evil. It's like 20 minutes of her just completely contradicting herself. I don't think it's going to go well. The increased attention. Old Candace. I don't know, though. You know, maybe she can manifest it into something real. I doubt it. I think it's going to go away, actually. But anyway, we don't have to talk about that. But I do want to remind you once again that we have a special sale on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, your one-stop shop for patriotic merchandise. We got a new run of hats and shirts that are all very cool, would make fantastic presents for the info warrior in your family. But if you want to meet your New Year's resolutions and be the best you can be in 2026, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out some of the supplements or some of the, I don't even know, like, would you even call beef tallow a supplement? It's not a supplement. It's a cooking material. It's extremely healthy. It does have extremely powerful effects. It's significantly better for you than what you're probably using right now, which may be canola oil or some sort of seed oil. I don't know, do we even call it a supplement? We need like a new name for what we sell, because we have amazing supplements, but we also have amazing things like beef tallow, which of course can be the replacement. I mean, it used to be that people fried things in butter and tallow. Now it's all seed oils and these, you know, industrial runoff crap that they try to tell you is food so they can sell it to you rather than having to pay to have it recycled. Beef tallow is the replacement for all of that. Beef tallow is, you can cook with it. You can also make things with it. I know I was talking about when we first got it, I had just seen that my wife had tallow-based makeup. And I was just reading about tallow on the bottle of makeup going, man, this tallow stuff sounds really cool. We should get some. And then boom, we have it. Optimal Human. Beef tallow. But get any supplement and you get free a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or the Atomic Defense supplement. So buy any supplement and get one of those absolutely free, your choice, right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Get that free gift, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, we'll move on to a whole bunch of other major stories that we have to cover this hour. We'll move on from Venezuela and Israel. I think we'll start with really a good story, good news, a positive outcome to a story that we have been talking about for a while now, trying to sound the alarm about, and that is pesticide immunity in a spending bill. Now, this was Tiffany Cianci originally brought this to our attention. Brett Cooper also went on Fox News yesterday to talk about this. We can go to clip number 43. Now, the outcome of this is that it has been defeated for now. House Republicans quietly slipped pesticide immunity into spending bill. Now they've been forced to yank Section 453 after massive backlash. Here is at least part of that backlash from Brett Cooper on Fox News yesterday.
House Republicans are slipping something into our new spending bill. It is Section 453, I believe, which would give immunity to huge pesticide companies. I think it would cover 57,000 different chemicals. And these are chemicals that have been linked to cancer and Parkinson's and infertility. And House Republicans are just slipping it in, which feels like they're giving the middle finger to MAHA. And so while I am excited about getting rid of paper straws, and I hate them, I think any girl who enjoys her iced lattes every day wants them gone. But it feels like this is a bigger issue that we should be talking about if we're concerned with the chemicals and that sort of thing.
And of course we should be and are. So the backlash has succeeded for now. Of course, what we know about these things is that they never take their ball and go home, right? They'll just try a different way. They'll try a different method. Of course, the whole thing's absurd. The only reason you'd want immunity is because you know you're hurting people. And here Trump gets in part at least, on the MAHA wave, RFK Jr. coming over, MAHA promises, we're going to make America healthy again. We're going to hold these big corporations to account. They're poisoning your food and water. I mean, they ran on that. And now not only are they not stopping the pesticides in the food and water, they're trying to make it impossible for you to sue if you're injured by these things. It is an absolute middle finger to MAHA. It's a middle finger to the American people. It's a middle finger to the people that elected Trump on the basis that he would do something against this, and he says he's doubling down and going in favor of it, him and his proxies who are putting this out, including Lee Zeldin at the EPA. But it's also a middle finger to the average American who, whether you know it or not, you're being poisoned with pesticides. You don't have to be aware of this attack for it to be affecting you. So this is really a middle finger to just the health of America overall. I want to go to some more videos here again, just to remind you what we're dealing with. Let's go to, I just had it here. I actually have a couple because we also have, what's his name? Mel Gibson. Let's go to clip number five first. We'll go to clip number five. This is Mel Gibson dropping a banger. He's in Italy and talking about how healthy the food is there. Let's watch.
Hi, Mel Gibson. I'm in Italy where the food supply hasn't been messed with. You know, there's no GMO stuff allowed. So the grain and the pasta is great. I can eat it like all day and not get porky. And all the cheeses are wonderful. Buffalo mozzarella from the Napoli region. Unpasteurized milk. It's good for the biff. Save the biff. It's your last line of defense against, well, all the environmental things that come to assault us. Particularly in the food supply. Okay, I'm digging it over here.
Yeah, our food is poison. Our food is absolutely poison, and it's horrific, and we have the evidence of this. Let's go to clip number 55 here, and we see as glyphosate use skyrocketed, so did diseases. What do you know? Let's watch.
Starting in the early 90s, use of the chemical pesticide glyphosate on our food supply began to skyrocket.
Over the next 20 years, we saw an almost identical increase in the rates of bowel disease, thyroid cancer, renal disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes, and autism. We cannot let chemical companies have full immunity from causing health problems. Call your representatives now and tell them we must remove Section 453 from the House Appropriations Bill.
And that's from MahaAction.com. And enough people listen to that advice, listen to that call to action, and it has been withdrawn. The House Republicans quietly inserted and then just as quietly removed a highly controversial provision from the 2026 Interior and Environment Spending Bill after a firestorm of public outrage exposed what critics called a blatant attempt to shield powerful chemical corporations from accountability. Section 453 of H.R. 4754 would have blocked federal funding for the EPA to update pesticide labels, guidance, or policy if those updates differed in any way from prior health assessments, even when new science emerged showing increased risks. After intense pressure from watchdog groups and conservative commentators, House leadership yanked the provision before the bill heads to the floor this week. The now removed language stated, Section 453, none of the funds made available by this or any other act may be used to issue or adopt any guidance or any policy, take any regulatory action, or approve any labeling or change of such labeling that is inconsistent with or in any respect different from the conclusion of A, the human health assessment performed pursuant to the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, or B, a carcinogen classification for a pesticide. In plain English, freeze pesticide labels in place regardless of emerging science. And of course, again, as Tiffany Cianci was here and explaining, you know, the real depth of absurdity here, it's very good that these have been removed. 57,000 plus pesticide products would have been shielded from failure to warn lawsuits. This would, in effect, act as a liability shield for pesticide companies. The same liability shield that vaccine producers appreciate, enjoy. Bayer, the German manufacturer of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, has experienced a stock price crash and is on the hook for $16 billion in settlements from glyphosate cancer litigation. They're repeatedly losing court cases because of the overwhelming evidence that glyphosate is connected to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Similarly, Paraquat, manufactured by ChemChina, is tightly connected to Parkinson's disease and litigation is underway. It's a pesticide that's banned for use in China, yet they sell it to us and now want legal immunity when we get Parkinson's from their product. These pesticides are not necessary. They're not even legal in places like Europe or even China. They are not, you know, it's not like we are going to starve if we don't use these. And they're all poison, and they're all absolute poison, and they know that they're poison. And as I pointed out a million times before, when it comes to things like, you know, gay frogs, they really do, they know what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. They know glyphosate is unhealthy. That's why they're trying to get immunity for it. So again, it's not like, oh, they're just trying their best, and years later we learn, oh, there were these bad health effects. No, they know there are bad health effects now. And they're writing laws to ensure that they continue to poison us and we continue to have no ability to stop them. They're evil. And unfortunately, it's the Trump administration that is really doing the heavy lifting in, you know, trying to get this stuff over the line. Thankfully, enough people woke up to this and were outraged by it and made them stop it, but they'll try it again. They'll do it again. They'll do it quietly. It'll be in the middle of some big, you know, fight over some big bill. They'll slip it in quietly because obviously they really, really, really want to poison us. They really, they just want no barriers to their ability to poison all of us. And you can go to modernagalliance.org to see a bunch of information about this. Section 453 says EPA cannot change its determination about whether a chemical causes cancer unless the EPA does a whole new study from scratch. It simply reaffirms the existing framework. Oh, wait, so is this? I don't know. Is this pro or against? I'm not even sure, actually. Section 453 would make it impossible for states to protect people by holding companies legally accountable for failing to warn against harm. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Section 453 would mean the manufacturers cannot warn that glyphosate causes cancer on the label. It'd actually be prevented from warning that. And then you'd be prevented from suing if you got cancer because of the lack of warning. Absolutely incredible. Moving on, Trump posts chart proving 72% of U.S. Somali households are on welfare. President Donald Trump shared a chart on social media this week showing welfare usage rates among immigrant households in the United States. The chart, titled Immigrant Welfare Recipient Rates by Country of Origin, lists the percentages of immigrant households receiving public assistance broken down by country or region of birth. According to the data shown, approximately 72% of Somali-born households in the U.S. receive some form of government welfare, placing Somalia among the highest listed countries on the chart. Other groups shown with high welfare participation rates include households from Bhutan, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, and several African, Middle Eastern, and Caribbean nations, many exceeding 50%. It used to be a law that you had to prove that you would not be a ward of the state to even get into this country. Now it seems like the number one reason to get into this country is so that you can milk our welfare system for everything that it's worth. It's one of these situations where there's no reason why this should have ever been the case. It, again, it's just like beyond description that we live in a country that will allow tens of millions of people into this country who just don't work. We just bring them in and then give them our tax dollars to replace us. This is insane. It's also happening across the entire Western world, and it is obviously the consequence of very extreme, long-lasting, and highly effective psychological operations. Why would anybody agree with this? And why do they now? Because they hate America and want to see us destroyed? Because they're been driven insane by leftist propaganda and don't know which way is up? I don't know. But it's absolutely insane that we have anybody in this country from another country that isn't contributing. It doesn't make any sense, y'all. Every single one of them should be sent back to where they came from. Immediately and without question. And you can just see the astronomical number of people receiving 50% or more of their population living off of the dole. It really is just pathetic. 2,000 federal agents have been deployed to Minneapolis in immigration crackdown and fraud probe. The Trump administration has begun a massive deployment of hundreds of Department of Homeland Security agents in the Twin Cities as it escalates its federal crackdown amid a widening fraud scandal in Minnesota. Multiple law enforcement officers familiar with the plan told CBS News. The crackdown could involve roughly 2,000 agents and officers from Immigration and Customs Deportation Branch and Homeland Security Investigations. The agency's investigative arm tasked with fighting transnational crimes, the official said. They requested anonymity to discuss operations that have not been publicly announced. How about we just treat them all like Nicolas Maduro? How about all of them get black bagged in the middle of the night? What if we had a full-fledged military operation to protect our country from the hostile foreigners that are robbing us blind and that we can't seem to do anything about? There's a major disconnect when you can deploy aircraft carriers, you can assault a sovereign nation, you can start a war on a whim, but we can't get people out of our own country. Do you understand how broken things are? There's no barrier whatsoever if a president says, go kidnap that head of state and kill 100 people while you're at it. It just happens. They just do it. Nobody says anything. Then in our own country, our own backyard, where our own people are being screwed over, our own people are being murdered, our own people are being robbed from, Kilmar Abrego Garcia cannot be touched by the law. Thousands of Somalis with thousands of daycare centers featuring zero children in any of them have to be treated with kid gloves? Something's not right here. Either we have sovereignty and can act like Venezuela, or we're slaves like in America. Can we just do it already?
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room, and I got a lot of videos to go to today. In this final segment, I want to start with, I think, a very interesting observation from Ed Dowd. This is one of these things that I know what he's talking about, but I hadn't put it together yet. I hadn't thought about it in the way that he explains it. A lot of people know now, and the meme is that the American economy is just like four AI companies basically sharing money back and forth. Basically, our entire stock market is upheld by like NVIDIA and a few others. And a lot of the money that's moved is just moving between these companies. It's all kind of a shell game. But those are the ones dominating the stock market right now. The AI companies and the, you know, manufacturing companies that serve the AI companies. And Ed Dowd explained what this means in a way that I had not heard before. And let's go to this video of Ed Dowd now. Do y'all know which one I'm talking about? Clip 50 here. Let's go to clip 50.
Well, what the stock market is telling you, the most highly valued companies are AI companies. AI is going to be, you know, if you want to be cynical, which I am, the market is telling you that the most valuable stocks are the ones that are building the digital prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the only growth in the country at the moment is the building of the digital prison. Think about that for a second.
Jeez.
That's it.
The
growth in sectors are building our future enslavement. That's where the last bit of growth is coming from.
The digital panopticon, the digital gulag.
Yep.
The states are tax farms, and I guess they're just trying to adopt digital technology, right?
So yeah, pretty disturbing, but I can't help but agree with him. Everybody knows the AI companies are the things dominating the stock market right now. Just who's put it together that, yeah, once AI is fully implemented, it will be in charge. It's only the corporations that are engaged in building the digital prison that are making any money right now and the subject to any growth. Because remember, this is by design. The collapse is manufactured, it's managed, it's deliberate, and it ends in your complete dispossession or eradication. It's up to you. I mean, that's what they're going for. There's a reason there's no growth in any other sector, because it's death in every other sector. And they have rigged the system to be exactly what best serves those at the top, the moneyed interests. You look at the hypocrisies or the cognitive dissonance of some of these designs, some of the plans, and you'd have to be a fool not to understand what's going on. When the same organizations are telling white people to stop breeding, to stop having kids, to save the earth by ending their bloodline, and then are simultaneously saying, oh my gosh, the economy can't handle it. We need a million refugees. Like, you don't need me. You should not need me to explain this. This isn't difficult. It's actually kind of obvious. People are finally waking up to this to some degree. And I don't know exactly how to handle this, because normies are resistant to truth, and it's really hard to break through to the average person. And it's almost like the average person has so absorbed the talking points from the left now that they almost like they like believe that it's white supremacy to not want white people to go away. And so you see a lot of people out there going from, you know, colorblind liberal to like hardcore Nazi. And it's like, guys, that's a false dichotomy they're presenting you with. You're falling for it. You don't have to hate anybody to be in favor of your own continuing existence. Okay? It's okay to just say this is wrong and bad, what's happening, and it shouldn't be happening. It's actually not that hard. It's actually not that hard to come up with. The problem, the reason why this is difficult to achieve is because the attack against us is so flagrant, is so evil, is so vicious, that when you do finally wake up to it, your first impulse is to be enraged and furious at what's going on and reactionary in a negative way. I don't think you need to. We need to recognize how evil this stuff is, combat it, and oppose it with everything that we've got, while also recognizing that the normie brain has a firewall installed that activates the moment they think they've detected hateful language in you. And this is a skill you have to develop. I don't know if I've done it that well. But maybe we need to have examples. Maybe I need to go around doing man on the street content, not to get arguments and controversy, but to just see if you can break through the normie firewall. See if we can get them to understand reality at even a basic level. It's difficult. And again, I don't know if it's a strategy or just a natural consequence, but it's almost like the attacks are so insane, so overwhelming and hateful and vicious that even explaining them, people don't want to believe it. Like this one. Deaths to outnumber births from now on. Britain faces shrinking population unless it welcomes more migrants, Resolution Foundation warns. Can you identify from that sentence alone what the embedded lie of this story is? It's not really even embedded. They kind of come out and say it. Deaths to outnumber births from now on. As if there's nothing you can do to reverse this. As if there's no reason why it's this way, that causes can be identified and confronted and reversed and the birth rate can rise again. That's treated as if it doesn't even exist. As if that's not even a possibility. Just things are going down and they'll continue to go down forever. And so to make up for this, we got to bring in more migrants. It's obviously a lie, but embedded in it is this genocidal condition that just says there's nothing you can do. And there's another video that went viral over the weekend. I should have pulled it in. Maybe I'll pull it in later this week. But it was an argument between, I believe it was Steve Laws is his name, who's a sort of white nationalist activist in the UK. And he was arguing against a Jewish guy who's a Jewish British guy. And it's all about identity and what is Britain. And the Jewish guy is going, hey, it's kind of over for y'all. Like there's, you know, it's kind of no getting back to where you were at this point. And Steve Law responds like, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about? All you have to have is the will and the effort and the motivation to do it. Of course it's possible to save the UK. It's not just possible. It would be easy if everybody would just get out of their way. Do you know how hard it is to crush the spirit of an entire population that was once like on top of the world? Like they have to try so hard to get this condition. They have to really, they had to pull out all of the stops, all the blatant propaganda, all the psyops, all the poisoning in the food and water, all the scams from elementary school on up about climate change, getting you to hate yourself and hate your race and think that humans are bad and a virus and we have to die off. Like so much has gone into forcing the British people into not replacing themselves, into not having children. All you have to do is get rid of that. The population will explode. Like that's what naturally happens. You put a group of people on an island, there will be more of them later. Naturally, you don't have to, nobody has to go in and help them figure out how, right? That's actually the natural human condition. You have to put so many restrictions on humans, so many barriers to their procreation to get this outcome. So what the hell do you mean it's impossible to get back to where we were? And somebody else pointed out the creation of Israel, think about it what you want. It was a monumental accomplishment that would make raising the birth rates seem like nothing. I wish I'd saved this tweet, but it was like Israel created a first world nation in a place that it had no people before, using what is now their lingua franca, was once a dead language, right? Hebrew was not widely used. It would be like a bunch of Europeans creating a country and making Latin the language of that country. That's what they did with Hebrew. So it's like, to see what humans can accomplish in reality that they already have done. I don't have to convince you this has happened. It happened, okay? Because people had a will. They wanted to do something. They had the backing to do the thing. They had the guns and the money and the will and the organization to do it. So they did it. And you're telling me this is the very same people. Remember, the English people were the ones that, you know, colonized the Middle East and gave Israel the land, and then they were attacked and had to split. But, I mean, it was Britain that did this. You're telling me the same people that conquered the entire world from an island The sun never set on the British Empire. Those people can't possibly do anything to create two babies for every couple, really? That's an impossible achievement. That's too far. That's too much to ask. This is a demoralization psyop. Deaths to outnumber births from now on. What a ridiculous scam that is. Okay, so screw them. It's not the only article from The Telegraph today about this, or well, I guess this is from a month ago or so. London's demographic change is unprecedented in peacetime. Well, is it peacetime? I don't know. I think you're at war. I think you're quietly at war with the rest of the world and you're losing. When I realized something has happened in London. In 1975, the white British population of London was about 85%. Today, 50 years later, it's just 37% and falling. Yeah. Demographic replacement, wholesale. Obviously, it's on purpose. Obviously, it's by design. Obviously, it is a part of a much wider century-long plan to eradicate not just white people in Christendom, but what they represent and the ideas that we first put forward, like, you know, resistance to tyrants. We've explained this over and over again. You should be able to understand it by now. But again, the cognitive dissonance is really overwhelming, continuous, and like never ending. Major British university urges end to exams as part of a plan to decolonize its business school because they, quote, favor white students. Birmingham University says the traditional method of assessments are measures of smartness based on white privilege, adding it's harder for students from ethnic minorities to do well. The university, part of the prestigious Russell Group of Universities, made the astonishing claim in its new paper on how to decolonize its business school. It decreed business degrees must change their system and structures to cut links with colonialism and its legacies. So they will no longer be requiring exams or essays because non-white people score lower on them. Diversity ad nauseum is how I like to put it. Diversity ad nauseum. That is diversity until it literally kills you, makes you sick. Are white people pussies? Some reflections on a very stupid question. Yeah, there's the picture of the Delta Force that took out Maduro. 100% white males. Isn't that interesting? That when you actually need something done at the highest level possible, you don't see any transgender fatsos in there. What a surprise. You don't see any mentally ill, two-gender spirit women in that group. Interesting how that works. Not very diverse. Probably need to lower some standards. Diversity is our strength. That's why we lowered the standards, right? Diversity is our strength, so we can't expect them to take tests. They're too strong. The diverse people are too strong to take tests and score well. People are getting this. They're understanding it. They're starting to realize. I mean, everybody should have realized years ago. Again, I don't want to like pat myself on the back, but like so much of what I say is treated as like this anathema. It's like, oh my God, because I'm like the only one saying. Everybody should recognize this. I remember being probably not a little kid. I was probably, you know, middle school or something. But I was going to some edgy websites and I was seeing some things. And one of the things I kept hearing about was the 14 words. The hell are the 14 words? Oh, it's a neo-Nazi thing. It's Nazis. You don't want anything to do with the 14 words. So you hear about it, you're like, oh, geez, what is this? What could this be? And then you find out the 14 words are just like, yeah, white people deserve to exist. You look at that and you go, this is what they're calling hateful? This is what's banned? This is what they're framing as like evil and dangerous and Nazi. It's literally my continued existence and my ability to have children. That's what they're saying is evil. They just hate white people. Okay, it's not that hard to figure out. You don't need to be a genius. You don't need to be an adult. You don't need to speak English. Like, it's pretty obvious. When they say the height of evil is your continuing existence as a race, I think they hate your race. And you don't have to be okay with that. In fact, you shouldn't be okay with that. You should rebel against that, just like you would rebel against a murderer trying to break into your house. No, you deserve to live. Your family deserves to live. Here's the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And it's like, you hear that after being told, like, oh, the 14 words, it's terrible. It's the most evil thing ever. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children? What? What? What do you mean? What do you mean that's evil? What do you mean that's bad? You hate white people? Okay. You just hate white people. Let's go to this video of this guy. It's the one I was going to play earlier. I think y'all saw what it was. And it looks like we're getting a new announcement from Trump. I'll do that on the other side. But this video went a little bit viral. It is a respectable British man saying what people should have been saying since probably about the 40s when the whole trend to hate white people got started. Let's go to clip 44 here.
White. That's what it seems like. It seems like racist equals white. Because no black man can be racist to me. If I criticize a Jew, I'm an anti-Semite. If I criticize an Islamic, I'm an Islamophobe. What are you if you criticize me? What are if you try and replace me? What are you if you try and tell me I'm wrong for wanting to protect my children? Apparently, you're a perfectly reasonable person. But I'm a racist for wanting to protect my future. No. I don't accept the 14 words as a thing. I think it's ridiculous that anyone could even say that they own this concept, as every human thinks this thing. Black people go on and on and on about black. Asians, Indians will tell you that India's the best at this, this is Indian, that's Indian, everything's brilliant that is Indian. Good for you, you love your people. I'm glad for you. I love mine. But don't call me on a racist just because you don't like the word white. If you don't like the word white, maybe you shouldn't live in a white country. Like, really, if you don't like white people, go away. White people live here. I'm really sick of it. I'm sick of us being exceptionalized. This is happening every Western country. What we used to call Christendom is under attack. By its own people, by its own elite. And we're supposed to just sit here and be arrested for having an opinion? No. No, I'm not a racist because I'm white. I'm a racist because I'm a human. Every human is racist. It's normal to love your own people more than you love other people. It's normal. The creation of the word racist doesn't suddenly make me an evil person. It's a concept. It's not even a real thing. It's called in-group bias and out-group bias. It's genetics. It's frustrating, to be honest, that these questions even exist.
Yeah, it is. We're seeing the backlash to it. And I'm telling you, folks, what you're witnessing right now is going to change everything. When you have attractive European girls calling for remigration, we've achieved some sort of watershed moment. It's very good to see. So that video went viral as well, the remigration video. Quickly, we'll go to clip 11 to show you the exact opposite of this. This is the police in Scotland, what they think about white people. Let's watch.
There are obviously concerns expressed sometimes about how different parts of Scotland will respond to the new individuals and the new families joining them, coming into their communities. But I believe we can build on the good practice which we see in places like Glasgow, a wealth of experience receiving asylum seekers and refugees over a considerable period of time. There are numerous success stories, and we mustn't forget those. There's a huge amount of learning we can already take from the work that you're doing and take to all those areas of the country to assist new arrivals wherever they are located. As I've said, our job is to keep all people safe and to protect vulnerable people and communities, particularly from victimisation. I want to make it really clear that just as you won't tolerate any form of hate crime, neither will we. Where people are targeted because of their gender identity, their sexual orientation, disability, or because of their race or religion, we will do something about that.
Yeah, they'll throw you in jail. They'll throw you in jail for disagreeing with it. And they're so strong. They're learning so much. It's just, you know, don't try to get them to do a test or anything. Okay. All right. We need them. I mean, without them, you know, we're lost forever. It's just like, don't ask them to do what white people do. Okay. That's mean. All right. It's very disrespectful of their culture to ask them to do something and then grade it alongside white people. Okay. How dare you? All right. Diversity is our strength. So we're not grading tests anymore. Okay. Diversity is our strength. So we're not going to be reporting on races when it comes to crime anymore. Okay. Because diversity is our strength. Remember? We're going to have laws against opposing the bringing in of all these people because of how strong they are. This is breaking from Trump. Today, the Trump administration is proud to announce the United States of America's updated childhood vaccination schedule. This schedule is rooted in the gold standard of science and widely agreed upon by scientists and experts all over the world. Effective today, America will no longer require 72 jabs for our beautiful, healthy children. We're moving to a far more reasonable schedule where all children will only be recommended to receive vaccinations for 11 of the most serious and dangerous diseases. Parents can still choose to give their kids all of the vaccinations if they wish, and they will be covered by insurance. However, this updated schedule finally aligns the United States with other developed countries around the world. Congratulations to HHS Secretary Bobby Kennedy, CDC Acting Director Jim O'Neill, FDA Commissioner Marty Markery, as well as several others, including NIH Director Jay Bhattacharya and all of the medical experts and professionals who worked on this. Many Americans, especially the MAHA moms, have been praying for this common sense reform for many years. Thank you for your attention in this matter. That is an absolute victory, folks. That is an unqualified victory for us. Look at that. He's attached a meme. European countries, 11 injections. American babies, 72 injections. What a ridiculous farce our healthcare system has become. And this sets it back somewhat closer to being something that can affect good in the lives of people. That is absolutely incredible. Trump administration cuts number of vaccines it recommends for every child from 72 to 11. HHS, at its comparison of 20 peer nations, found that the U.S. was an outlier in both the number of vaccinations and the number of doses it recommended to all children. Officials with the agency framed the change as a way to increase public trust by recommending only the most important vaccinations for children to receive. That is absolutely incredible, because you understand that with this, you can no longer, like, schools can no longer demand that your kid is vaccinated. Like, this guidance is what they depend on. So if they want to reject your kid from school and say, well, the government says you have to have all this, well, they don't say that anymore. This is a major positive announcement, along with the removal of Section 453 and the immunity for pesticides. That is to home run, knock it out of the park. Unqualified victories for RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement. Well done. Governor Gavin Newsom issued a statement on Trump's administration's vaccine schedule endangering the lives of infants and children. Yeah, go get your jabs, Gavin. Gavin, I want you to be injected with all 72 of these shots. Do it in one sitting so you can show us how safe they are. Do it, Gavin. You're a big, strong old man, right? You're not just a little baby. And if it's so safe for babies, you sit down and get these 72 vaccines injected in your body. Do it all at once if they're so safe. I encourage you, and I encourage all of our enemies to go get your vaccines. Go get them again and again and again, folks. You idiots. God bless Trump and the MAHA movement.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated, 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.